KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, folks, there are certain jobs in the federal government that are supposed to be cush jobs. Secretary of Transportation is one of those jobs. You haven't really heard of past Secretaries of Transportation. Quick, name the last three. You can't, because no one's ever heard of that particular secretary. There are certain secretaries you've heard of, the Secretaries of State or the Secretaries of Defense. And then there are a bunch that you really never think about, like the Secretary of Commerce or the Secretary of Transportation. But they actually do have real jobs. Now, Pete Buttigieg has never treated the Transportation Department like a real job. He's always treated it as though it's essentially a giant photo op, which is why there are videos of him riding his bike around Washington, D.C. after taking his bike out of the back of a car. It's the reason why he was appearing mostly on the news for the first year of his existence as Secretary of Transportation as a new father who had taken off 2 months for no apparent reason and then had not come back until people noticed that he was gone. Pete Buttigieg has never taken his job particularly seriously because, let's be real about this, the executive branch is filled with non-serious jobs. Secretary of Transportation, it can be serious, but can also be a cush job. And this is particularly true for Pete Buttigieg, who is a media creation, who's been protected by the media, built by the media, and guarded by the media. And like a hothouse flower, Pete Buttigieg, when exposed to the elements, immediately wilts. And this is exactly what we are seeing in East Palestine, Ohio. I'm not sure I've ever seen a politician implode in as dramatic a fashion as Pete Buttigieg is currently imploding. Now, again, he should have imploded after he took 2 months off for paternity leave and no one noticed. At that point, everybody should have said, oh, he's a career useless person. Got it. But no. Instead, they decided that they were going to make him a hero of the Republic trademark. They were going to make him a hero of the Republic because he was showing fathers everywhere what it meant to be a good dad with your husband at home, having pushed the baby out. Well, no, actually, in any case, he was a hero of the Republic. And that maintained, right? He was a prospective presidential candidate. People in the Democratic Party were talking about how Kamala Harris was awful at her job, true. And Pete Buttigieg was the heir apparent to the old man. If Joe Biden fell down on the job, it would be young Pete Buttigieg, fresh-faced directly from the cover of Mad Magazine, who is going to bring the Democratic forward into the new age. After all, he was intersectional. I mean, sure, he's a white dude, but he was a gay white dude. And that meant that he would be the perfect candidate for president of the United States for a coalition that is mainly liberal, college-educated women, and minorities who really are not fond of Pete Buttigieg. It was a bad strategy, but it was the thing they were pursuing. Well, now it turns out that the rubber has hit the road, because if you are a photo op guy, if you're in a photo op position, then the thing that you really can't screw up is the photo op. That is the thing more than anything else you can't screw up. Like, nobody's going to look into the ins and outs of Pete Buttigieg's performance in terms of railroad strikes, which is actually his job, right? No one is actually going to look into that and say, is he doing a good job at that? Because that's complicated stuff. That's policy stuff. What people are going to look into is whether he looks sympathetic when something really intense happens, like, you know, a giant mushroom cloud outside of an American town after a train is blown up. Now, the media have been trying to say, well, you know, Elaine Chao never visited any of these places. Okay, a few things. One, Elaine Chao was never a presidential candidate. Everyone knows Pete Buttigieg is a presidential candidate. Number two, all of the train derailments during the Trump era did not involve a giant mushroom cloud of toxic waste emerging into the atmosphere and killing, at last count, 43,000 aquatic animals. According to the Washington Post, Ohio residents with headaches and nausea around the site where a train carrying hazardous chemicals veered off the tracks are worried about the long-term impact of the derailment on human health. The effect on animals is already becoming clear. The derailment of East Palestine potentially killed more than 43,000 fish, amphibians, crustaceans, and other aquatic animals in nearby streams, according to state officials. It will take time for the stream ecosystem to recover, said Mary Mertz, director of the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. We know it won't be quick, she said, but it's going to come back. Now, And how much of this is on Pete Buttigieg as opposed to on the EPA or Norfolk Southern, the railroad company? And how much of this is just chance? How much of this is just bad stuff happening? All of that is a fair game. It's a fair question. Is it really Pete Buttigieg's fault that a train fell off the rails and then the EPA decided to blow the thing up? Is that really Buttigieg's fault? I think in many ways, the answer is no. I will tell you what is Pete Buttigieg's fault. Not doing his actual real job, which is to show up and cut ribbons. Right? That's like, he has a cush job, and he blew the cush job. That's the part of this that is going to come back to haunt him. Because if you're a Democrat, and you are in a photo opposition, you have but one job. And your one job is not policy. Your one job is to appear as though you care about the humans. And here's the thing. Pete Buttigieg, I'm not sure he really cares about the humans. He cares about Pete Buttigieg a lot. I'm not sure that he really cares about the humans. And this is why Pete Buttigieg just, I think his political career is essentially over at this point. So he went to East Palestine, Ohio, the day after Donald Trump. So first of all, political botchery of the highest order. The East Palestine, Ohio derailment happened almost 3 weeks ago. I believe it's 3 weeks ago now. And for 3 weeks, he did nothing. It wasn't like he was going to Ukraine with President Biden. It wasn't like he had a really busy job. He was on a bunch of confabs that the Secretary of Transportation usually goes to and speaking in front of a step and repeat or sitting on a stage and talking into a microphone. At any time, he could have taken a private jet, which is his preferred method of travel, and he could have gone to East Palestine, Ohio for like 3 hours, and he could have sat there and he could have comforted people. He could have done those things, and he didn't do those things. And that was a mistake. It was a large-scale mistake. And then Trump really showed him up because Trump was like, hey, I can do it. I'm not a member of the government. I don't have an obligation to do it, but I can do it. I can take a plane from Mar-a-Lago to Ohio. I can buy everybody some McDonald's. I can bring them some water. It ain't that hard. And meanwhile, Pete Buttigieg is still sitting there going on national television and explaining why he won't do it. Giant fail for Pete Buttigieg. I think he is finished as a presidential candidate for sure. We get to more on this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about cancel culture on social media. The left would love to silence and boycott any voices they don't particularly agree with. I mean, we are now finding out, for example, that the State Department is literally coordinating with fact checkers in order to suppress sites that you love. Well, social media is supposed to be an open platform. Instead of letting the social media sites cancel your right to free speech, how about canceling them instead? The best way to do that, you don't have to dump your social media account. All you have to do is actually protect your data, because that is the way they make all of their money. I use ExpressVPN to protect my own data. If you've ever wondered how free-to-access sites make their cash, the answer is they track your searches, video history, everything you click on, and then they sell on your valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN could not be easier to set up. With one tap of a button on your phone or computer, you're now protected. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from hackers. It's finally time to say no to censorship, take back your online privacy, and stop the tech bros. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro to learn more. Pete Buttigieg, he shows up, and the first thing that he says is, we've been here from the very first hours of this thing. Here he was.
That's exactly why we're here. That's why we've been here from the first hours of the incident as an administration. And it's why our interest both in what happened here in East Palestine and in keeping our railroads safe doesn't go away when some other hot news story comes into the headlines. We're going to be here day in, day out, year in, year out, making our railroad safer and making sure Norfolk Southern meets its responsibilities.
I love this. This is, we've been here from the very first hours. This is so reminiscent of when Kamala Harris said to Lester Holt on national television, we've been to the border. And he's like, well, you haven't been to the border. She's like, well, that's true. I haven't been to the border. It's that. Yeah, Pete, I assume that there were some government agencies who arrive at the site of a disaster like this. I assume that is the case. You are not one of those people. You are the famous person. You're the person who's supposed to be in charge. Again, I think that virtually all photo ops are stupid, but that is the game. And the only reason that you are a famous person is because you are good at the photo ops. So if you had one job, dude, one job, and you blew it. And then he talked about how the country should wrap its arms around East Palestine. Yeah, I do not believe you at all.
They deserve a different level of support, a human level of support. The country should be wrapping their arms around the people of East Palestine, not as a political football, not as an ideological flashpoint, not as a gotcha moment, but as thousands of human beings whose lives got upended through no fault of their own. And I think that includes visits, not just big official visits from the government, but just people who've seen the news and whose hearts go out to the community here.
Wait, so this is the most galling form of politics, is he totally blew it. And he's like, well, I'm here to tell you that people really should visit. You are the question, my friend. It's like, what? Can you imagine? Like, this is, okay, my wife tells me to take out the garbage. And I don't. Let's say I just don't take out the garbage for 3 days. And then finally, I'm starting to take out the garbage. She's like, I noticed that you didn't take out the garbage for 3 days. And I'm like, well, you know, people should take out the garbage. In fact, everyone should take out the garbage. In fact, it's very important that everyone wrap their arms around the garbage and take out the garbage to the curb. Really, really. My wife would look at me cross-eyed and say, like, what are you talking about? You were supposed to do this and you did not, and now you missed garbage day. Like, what is he talking about? Why is he lecturing the rest of us on what we should do with East Palestine? Your job, dude. You. And he is the guy in the job interview, as we were about to see. He is the guy in the job interview, Pete Buttigieg, who you ask, what is your greatest flaw? And he says, well, I'm just too much of a perfectionist. I'm too detail-oriented. That is my greatest flaw. I don't think Pete Buttigieg thinks that he has flaws. I don't think he thinks he did anything wrong here from a political point of view, which is kind of amazing. Now, here's Pete Buttigieg quasi-apologizing. This is not an apology. He says, my problem is I care too much. That's my big problem, is the caring of about these people too much. I had to stay away because I cared so much. That's how much I cared. Is I didn't call, I didn't write, I didn't come. That's how much I cared. Wow.
Now that you've seen the records and spoken to the people, was it a mistake not to come here sooner?
You know, what I tried to do was balance two things. My desire to be involved and engaged and on the ground, which is how I am generally wired to act, and my desire to follow the norm of transportation secretaries, allowing NTSB to really lead the initial stages of the public-facing work.
So he had a balance. He's deep and abiding desire to show up in East Palestine, which no one would have stopped him from doing. And his desire to follow the... Yes, it's because he cares too much, guys. He just cares too much. And then he says, you know, the big problem for me is I feel so strongly. And yet, it's hard for me because as a stoic example of masculinity par excellence, I try to hold back my feelings, but I feel so strongly. It's so disingenuous. Everyone knows it's disingenuous.
Before you send your first tweet expressing concern for the residents of East Palestine, a week and a half after the accident happened, in hindsight, was that waiting too long to express anything hours after you had addressed the makeup of work crews on highway construction projects just that very day?
The answer to your question is yes. I felt strongly about this and could have expressed that sooner. Again, I was taking pains to respect the role that I have and the role that I don't have, but that should not have stopped me from weighing in about how I felt about what was happening to this community.
I felt so strongly. My feelings are so strong, so strong. Well, he's a train wreck, a better train wreck. And now his presidential hopes are a train wreck. Unfortunately for him, he also lost his train of thought. Unfortunate language here from the Secretary of Transportation.
And there's no question that there have been enormous amounts of both information and misinformation injected into this situation, none of which is to the benefit of the community when it comes to that misinformation. So I lost my train of thought. That's what I had to say about that.
Oops. Whoops. that presser really derailed right there. Well, then Buttigieg ran away from the media. So I was told during the Trump administration that if you didn't answer questions from the media, this made you a threat to democracy and the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. Pete Buttigieg has no such concerns because, of course, he's a Democrat. Here he was, basically running away from the media yesterday.
Mayor Pete, why did it take you an entire 2.5 weeks to actually get here to respond to East Palestine? Will you apologize to the residents of this city for the slow response, to the government's slow response? Do you have any apology?
Well, bye. Also, that was not even the worst. The worst is the Buttigieg press secretary actually called a reporter aggressive for asking questions. Oh, man, this is some rough and tumble stuff right here.
You guys, I would like you guys to
turn
your camera off.
You're not on my
happy
camera.
Well, I'm on a camera. I would like the camera to be off, and I'm happy to talk to you guys.
Well, if you're the press secretary of the Secretary of the Department of Transportation, don't you think you should be able to ask questions from the American public?
Absolutely. I would like to do it without the camera on.
Can I ask why?
I think that is a little bit aggressive. That's
why is it aggressive? On behalf of the American people, I'm just asking why he has not been here until Donald Trump
did. He's asked several times, and then he turned the cameras off, and they will not do it.
Turn off the cameras. Turn those off! Just genius level stuff here from the Secretary of Transportation and his staff. They are really, really good at this. We get to more on this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about cancel culture on social media. The left would love to silence and boycott any voices they don't particularly agree with. I mean, we are now finding out, for example, that the State Department is literally coordinating with fact checkers in order to suppress sites that you love. Well, social media is supposed to be an open platform. Instead of letting the social media sites cancel your right to free speech, how about canceling them instead? The best way to do that, you don't have to dump your social media account. All you have to do is actually protect your data, because that is the way they make all of their money. I use ExpressVPN to protect my own data. If you've ever wondered how free-to-access sites make their cash, the answer is they track your searches, video history, everything you click on, and then they sell on your valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN could not be easier to set up. With one tap of a button on your phone or computer, you're now protected. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from hackers. It's finally time to say no to censorship, take back your online privacy, and stop the tech bros. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, more Pete Buttigieg response to his own malfeasance over in East Palestine, Ohio. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, the hop with the hop. Where the apps are, the coolest, and the music is the smoothest with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling BNT Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH. Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me, because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Or West Virginia.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Pete Buttigieg had one job, that was go to East Palestine and appear sympathetic, and he didn't do it. Okay, so it's been a bad week for Pete Buttigieg, bad several weeks for Pete Buttigieg. There's an entire article in Politico talking about how frustrated Pete Buttigieg is, because that, of course, is the real issue, is that he's frustrated. Quote, publicly and privately, signs are growing that the transportation secretary's usual Eagle Scout patience is giving way to frustration. He has gotten into Twitter spats with U.S. senators. His curt brush-off of a Daily Caller reporter who ambushed him during a walk turned into a viral video that has drawn more than 3 million views since Tuesday night. On Wednesday, Buttigieg's allies were complaining he's taking an unfair pounding over the disaster, all because of his perceived ambitions as a one-time and future presidential hopeful. Pete Buttigieg is taking a lot of bullets for the president on this, one senior Democrat said on Wednesday, insisting on anonymity to talk about a crisis that the person was not authorized to discuss. Well, yeah, this is really the funny part, is that he's mad at Biden. And guess what? He should be mad at Biden. He should be mad at Biden because Biden basically avoided all blame for this thing by never answering a question. And all the questions instead went to Buttigieg. In fact, CNN's Jeremy Diamond actually asked Karine Jean-Pierre, why doesn't Biden visit? And she didn't have a good answer on this thing.
So I guess I'm just struggling to understand why the president wouldn't go to East Palestine. Does it simply not meet the bar for a presidential visit?
Look, I want to be very clear here. There's no reason to struggle, I don't think, on this question. I think when you look at how the federal agencies have responded from day one and took this very seriously and reacted within hours of the derailment and was on the ground. This is the Environmental Protection Agency, as I was saying. They are the ones that deal with these types of chemical spills. They are the ones that are the leaders on this.
That didn't answer the question as to why Biden didn't go there. He literally just went to Ukraine, and we're sending billions of dollars to Ukraine. He didn't have to go there. He went there because he understands the value of a photo op. And then she was asked about whether he actually will in the future go visit East Palestine. She's like, nah, not really.
What I want to say is that it didn't start with the Environmental Protection Agency. Again, FEMA,
yeah,
CDC.
That's all different from a presidential
decision. No, I want to be very clear here. I don't have anything to share on a presidential visit, not at this time or anything to announce. But it does matter that the president put forth a multi-agency kind of reaction to this.
That's the thing that matters. It's not that Biden has no care about going there. The only thing that really matters is, you know, that there's a government and the government exists. So she's blaming Buttigieg right there. So in the same press conference where Karine Jean-Pierre, world's most untalented press secretary, is struggling to explain why Joe Biden is not going to East Palestine, she's bragging about Biden's trip to Kyiv.
The trip that President Biden took to Kyiv, as many of you reported on, was historic. It was brave. Many of you talked about how we heard the sirens wailing in the background as the president was on the ground. Remember, there is no military on the ground in Ukraine, U.S. military on the ground in Ukraine, and the president took this trip to send a very clear message, not just to the people of Ukraine, not just to Russia, but the world, how, again, we have an unwavering support for the people of Ukraine.
Again, they could prioritize both. They clearly are not. And this is an administration with priorities. So, for example, one of their big priorities is diversity. Karine Jean-Pierre gave unintentionally one of the worst defenses of diversity ever. She said, you know, the really important thing to notice about Joe Biden's cabinet, a cabinet filled with such luminaries as Pete Buttigieg and Kamala Harris, this amazingly diverse cabinet, filled with geniuses like Miguel Cardona and filled with just absolute wonders of the human species. It's a very diverse cabinet. I mean, sure, the one thing that unifies them, they suck at their jobs, but so diverse. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre.
The cabinet is majority people of color for the first time in history. The cabinet is majority female for the first time in history. A majority of White House senior staff identify as female. 40% of White House senior staff identify as part of the racially diverse communities. And a record 7 assistants to the president are openly LGBTQ+. So, again, this is something that the president prides himself on, that he actually has taken action to show the diversity of this administration.
Guys, they suck at their jobs, but Marsha Fudge, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, is black, and Pete Buttigieg is gay, and Jennifer Granholm identifies as a woman. Alejandro Mayorkas does identify as a Hispanic man, as a Latinx human at Homeland Security. Like, this is the really important stuff that you need to keep in mind. Priorities for this administration. Alrighty, coming up, Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary, she has laid out another priority of this administration. No, it's not spending money on American citizens. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Hell, not when it comes to minor or major auto body repair. That's when you need to call the professionals at Crossroads Auto Body Repair. They're located at 3045 Crossroads Drive, and their number is 530-226-0992. Call today and make an appointment for a free estimate. Gift certificates are also available at Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992 and make an appointment today for a free estimate. That's 530-226-0992.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading wants to wish you a Happy New Year. And to celebrate the new year, Quick and Clean offers car wash packages starting at only $9. Now the winter weather is upon us when dirt and grime can really build up on your vehicle. So stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2242 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822. Or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, this administration has its priorities in order. You know, we've heard about the diversity of the cabinet, very important priority. Other priorities include spending $10 billion more on shoring up the economy of Ukraine. And the good news is we have a Treasury Secretary that has nothing to do with Ukraine talking about it. Janet Yellen, you're at the Treasury Department. Your job is to tamp down the massive inflation rate and prevent economic stagnation. And yet, there you are, traveling around the world talking about how we need to send more money to Ukraine. I noticed that Ukraine is not part of your remit at the Secretary of the Treasury.
Our military assistance includes key defensive weapons that Ukraine has asked for, such as the Patriot missile defense system. And our economic assistance is making Ukraine's resistance possible by supporting the home front, funding critical public services, and helping keep the government running. In the coming months, we expect to provide around $10 billion in additional economic support for Ukraine.
Now, it's exciting to have the Secretary of the Treasury announcing all of that. That's really important stuff. Other things that we've been told by this administration, again, world's most untalented press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, a walking example of why affirmative action hiring is a bad idea. Karine Jean-Pierre, she says, you know, guys, you may not have noticed it, but the border is going amazing. Now, that's a lie. It's not true, but here we go.
On day one, the president put forward a comprehensive immigration reform proposal, and that's showing that the president was taking this very seriously. And the way that we see this is Congress needs to act. And what was happening currently right now is Congress is not acting. So what you're seeing from the Department of Homeland Security is they are using the tools that is being presented to them so that we can deal with this situation and do it in a safe and orderly and humane way.
What a joke. What an absolute joke. But again, Joe Biden's priorities are clear. One of his big priorities is reshaping the World Bank. So the World Bank is essentially, it was created as a way to give loans to countries that were going to restructure their finances in more responsible ways as they emerged from the vestiges of the Cold War. Now Joe Biden wants to use the World Bank to give giant loans, subsidized loans, to countries on behalf of redistributionism and climate change. According to Politico, Bank President David Malpass's abrupt announcement that he will step down from his post a year early opens the way for Joe Biden to choose someone who embraces the new goal of fundamentally overhauling the bank's work to focus more on climate and other global challenges. Malpass was a Trump appointee. He did not fit the administration's vision for the job. More than a dozen close watchers of the bank who were interviewed for this story said the rift and its resolution allows the U.S. to reshape the institution to tackle climate change. Yay! So now Joe Biden is going to select somebody to preside over presumably billions and billions and billions of dollars to give subsidized loans to country on the basis of climate change. It's all going, his priorities are so in order. It's amazing. Now, here's the problem for the Democrats. They're wedded to the old man. They have to be wedded to the old man. Pete Buttigieg just derailed. And meanwhile, you have Kamala Harris, and Kamala Harris is still sitting there, and people try not to think about her because it's too painful if you're a Democrat to think about Kamala Harris. Which brings us to today's episode of Deep Thoughts with Kamala Harris.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Kamala Harris.
Think of it then in the context of, like, I like to think about a lot of things in the context of a Venn diagram. I love Venn diagrams. Always ask, is there a Venn diagram for this? I'm telling you, it's fascinating when you do. So, Venn diagram, those three circles, right?
Ladies, find you a man who loves you like Kamala Harris loves Venn diagrams. Like it's the height of your understanding of politics is the Venn diagram. So much so. She's not like, you know what I really enjoy? I enjoy a solid multifactorial regression analysis. You wonder why they are wed to the old man. You wonder why they will defibrillate that guy every morning until he is capable of running for president again. That would be the reason. It's more on this in just one second. First, if you're a responsible human being, you need life insurance. It's just that simple because you don't know when God is going to take you. You're walking down the street and suddenly You have a heart attack and a piano falls on your head at the same time. Well, as you are making your way off this earthly terrain, you think to yourself, I should have listened to Shapiro and headed on over to Policy Genius. A good life insurance plan can give you peace of mind. If something happens to you, your family will have a safety net to cover mortgage payments, college costs, or other expenses so they can get back on their feet and focus on what's most important. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $39 per month for $2 million in coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees. Your personal details are private. No wonder they have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes to see how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. Okay, meanwhile, in some actual good news, Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, yesterday passed House Bill 1, Senate Bill 1. It is the Protecting Children from Gender Mutilation Act. The bill prevents minors in Tennessee from initiating transgender-related puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgeries. This is a big win for Daily Wire. It's particularly a big win for our friend Matt Walsh, who did an incredible rally to end child mutilation in Tennessee. I will say, the opposition to the bill in Tennessee is totally insane. I mean, totally crazy. I mean, there was a clip yesterday going around of Representative Gloria Johnson, Democrat of Knoxville, saying that the Daily Wire, that we are all creating a vortex of evil. Vortex of evil. First of all, I kind of want that to be our new mantra here at Daily Wire. To be like Daily, like Washington Post is democracy. It's Washington Post. Democracy dies in darkness. Daily Wire, vortex of evil. It's kind of awesome. It sounds like a Transformers team up or something. Anyway, here is Representative Gloria Johnson from Knoxville ranting and raving about how 14-year-old girls who are confused about their gender identity because they've been watching too many TikTok videos really need to be able to cut off their healthy breast tissue.
We have taken away a woman's right to determine her health care and her health outcomes. Now we've gone into children, but we've also gone into adults with a bill that's coming up with not allowing adults that care. So the reality is here, we're targeting a group, again, just as we were on the last bill, and we are determining that a certain group of folks can't have hair. When a physician has an oath to take care of their patients, and that's what they do, and we know that the major health organizations agree with these treatments and understand that they are life-saving in many situations. I just want to caution that this body should not be telling physicians what to do.
Well, the first rule of physicians is do no harm, obviously, and it seems pretty obvious that you are doing harm when you take gender-confused teenage girls and you pump them filled with testosterone. Pretty obvious stuff. So that is a big win for Daily Wire. It is a big win for Matt Walsh in particular. And congratulations to the Republicans in Tennessee for doing the sane and rational thing. Meanwhile, again, social contagion is in fact a thing. The numbers are astonishing. For people who are suggesting that the massive outbreak of transgenderism as a species of human behavior is merely the limitations of society being exploded, now people being able to flourish the way they originally would have. Let me just give you some statistics. So, Gallup now has a poll out, and it shows how people are identifying in terms of sexual orientation and gender identity. And the generational difference, astonishing. So, if you look at the Silent Generation would be the generation right after World War II. That generation, 1.7% identified as LGBT. That was 0.2% lesbian, 0.8% gay, 0.6% bisexual, not even measurable transgender. For baby boomers, it was 2.7%. So a marginal increase from 1.7% to 2.7% among the baby boomers, who were quite sexually permissive, as it turns out, the baby boomers. And that included 0.7% lesbian, 1% gay, 0.7% bisexual, 0.2% transgender, and 0.2% other. Generation X, right, even the generation after that, only 3.3%. Then you see an absolute explosion among millennials. 11.2%. Now, what's hilarious about that is that 6.9% of that 11.2%, well, more than half of that, are people who are identifying as bisexual. So the statistics are now kind of skewing radically. But even among millennials, only 1% were identifying as transgender. Now, that is a threefold increase from Generation X. But then you look at Generation Z. Generation Z, 20% are identifying as LGBT. 20%, 19.7%. 2.2% are identifying as lesbian. That is an increase of more than 20-fold from the silent generation. 3.4% identifying as gay. That is about a 4-fold increase from the silent generation. Bisexual, you have seen, I am not kidding you, a 20 times increase, not 20%, 20 times increase in bisexual identity from the silent generation to today's Generation Z. Trans, you now have 1.9% of all people in Generation Z identifying as transgender. 1.9% compared to 0.05%, less than that in the silent generation. You're talking about thousands of percentage points of increase here. Are you telling me that this is an outgrowth of simple biological bottlenecking? Or is this what happens when an entire society decides that identifying as a sexual minority is good for you and beneficial for you? It should not come as a surprise, by the way, that there was a survey that came out over the course of the last 48 hours from YouGov, and it found that an increasing number of Americans are describing their ideal relationship as something other than complete monogamy or moving away from monogamy. This obviously is correlating highly with societal happiness. I mean, everyone's so happy and fulfilled. Look around you. You can see from every poll how happy and fulfilled everyone is as they abandon all of the old institutions and the old ways like monogamous marriage and being in love while you're married with someone. I mean, these things are old-fashioned. So now you have a lot of people who are saying that they prefer non-monogamy. Not just that. And a growing percentage of Americans are saying that they believe that polygamy will be legalized. Two-thirds of Americans, 68%, still oppose the legalization of polygamy. But only 52% of 18 to 29-year-olds oppose polygamy. Which, of course, I mean, let's be real about this. Why should you oppose polygamy? If you believe that all traditional sexual structures should be blown up, what difference does it make if three people consent or four people consent or nine people consent? What difference does it make to you? This is what happens when radical individual autonomy overruns all of the intermediate institutions of society. Greater societal unhappiness. Greater individual unhappiness. All in the name of the individual. All in the name of authenticity. There's more on this in just 1 second. First, if you're a responsible human being, you need life insurance. It's just that simple. Because you don't know when God is going to take you. You're walking down the street and suddenly you have a heart attack and a piano falls on your head at the same time while as you are making your way off this earthly terrain. You think to yourself, I should have listened to Shapiro and headed on over to Policy Genius. A good life insurance plan can give you peace of mind. If something happens to you, your family will have a safety net to cover mortgage payments, college costs, or other expenses so they can get back on their feet and focus on what's most important. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $39 per month for $2 million in coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees. Your personal details are private. No wonder they have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could say. That's PolicyGenius.com. Already coming up, the Alec Murdoch trial is captivating the nation. We'll bring you the latest on that. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around.
I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes, people, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, is the Alec Murdoch trial? I'll tell you the truth. I haven't been following this over the course of the last couple of months, but it is kind of fascinating, and it's become a national issue. If you haven't been actually following this story, it is one of the craziest stories ever. So, actually, Vox did a good rundown on this. So, the Murdochs have wielded power over South Carolina's low country, the wedge at the bottom of the state, for over 100 years, ever since Randolph Murdoch Sr. founded his law office in Hampton County in 1910. The firm eventually grew into a large, powerful practice, continued by his son, Randolph Jr., and his grandson, Randolph III. From 1920 to 2006, all three men successfully held the post of solicitor, that's prosecutor, for South Carolina's 14th Circuit Court. So this is a big legal family over in South Carolina. The 86-year stretch serving as circuit solicitors is the longest such family legacy in American history. Well, Randolph IV and Alex, two of Randolph III's son, followed in their father's footsteps and became lawyers. Because South Carolina eventually prohibited lawyers from serving in those conflicting roles as like a public prosecutor and a private attorney, eventually they just started a law firm. Alex, it's pronounced Alec, I guess, was a golden child who sired golden children, born in 1967. He followed in the family footsteps. He studied law at University of South Carolina, and then he got married, and then he had a couple of sons, Buster, born in 1996, and Paul, born in 1999. And they lived in opulence. They had a beach house, a couple of private islands, a 1,772-acre estate known as Mizell. But apparently, everything was wild, up to and including Alec embezzling a crap load of money from his business partners, from his clients as well. And a weird amount of death seemed to follow around Alec Murdoch, like a weird amount of death. So in 2015, there was a 19-year-old Hampton student named Stephen Smith. He phoned his mom to tell her he'd run out of gas. Later that night, he was found lying in the middle of the road miles away from his truck. He'd apparently died of blunt force trauma. His body had been laid out in the middle of the road. Initially, the South Carolina Highway Patrol assumed that Stephen was the victim of a hit and run, and they closed the case. A police noted that the scene looked staged. Town gossip began to swirl that Smith was actually dating Buster Murdoch and that the Murdoch brothers had done something about all this. That was all rumor stuff. Then in 2018, there's another death. Gloria Satterfield. Gloria Satterfield was Murdoch's longtime housekeeper. And apparently she had a severe head injury February 2nd, 2018, and then died on February 26th of complications, including a stroke. It's not clear exactly what caused her death. The coroner was never notified. Satterfield's body was never autopsied. So it wouldn't have been suspicious, except for the fact that apparently Alec Murdoch and two other men, a banker and a fellow attorney, conspired to steal Satterfield's $4.3 million insurance policy by misleading Satterfield's sons and diverting all the funds to Alec himself through a phony business that Alec created. Which, I mean, talk about audacious. So the maid dies and your first move is to steal the life insurance money? That is a wild scheme. Okay, then, 2019, another death. On February 24th, 2019, 19-year-old Paul, right, the other son, and a group of his friends were returning to the Murdoch estate by boat. Apparently, Paul was really, really drunk, maybe high, and he was navigating the twisting waterways, and apparently he crashed the boat into a bridge, and a bunch of passengers fell from the boat, including Mallory Beach, and she died. The authorities didn't record his intoxication levels at the scene, but everybody confirmed that the guy was drunk off his ass. And this apparently led to a flurry of lawsuits and a criminal investigation focused on Paul Murdoch, and this opened a lot of boxes for Alec, because there's a lot of wondering about his fraudulent activities and his finances. And then, in 2021, there's more public interest that was going around Paul Murdoch's trial. They decided to put him on trial. Meanwhile, Alec, his wife, was estranged from him, and apparently was living at the beach house and looking into divorce, and Alec was neck-deep in these fraud schemes. He apparently said that he was having a 20-year opioid addiction. Okay, well, on June 7th, 2021, Alec allegedly lured Maggie to Mizzell, right? That's the 772-acre estate, and prompted her to text a friend that Alec was acting fishy. She wrote to her friend, he's up to something. Upon arriving at the estate, Maggie met her son Paul at the family's dog kennels. While they were there, both the mom and the son were murdered with two different weapons. Maggie was shot with an assault rifle. Paul was shot with a shotgun. Alec appeared on the scene shortly afterward and then called 911 to report the deaths. The double homicide caused the whole thing to collapse. So he immediately fell under suspicion of murder, because that's really, really, really suspicious. People getting killed on your property who are your family members. Very often the first suspect is the family member. And this was made worse because on September 3rd, 2021, Murdoch resigned from the family's law firm over embezzlement. The firm later sued him. The very next day, Alec called 911 to report a strange roadside incident in which he claimed to have blown a tire. When a stranger stopped to help him, Alec reported, they shot him in the head instead. The shot grazed him, but it turns out that he later admitted that he intended to have a friend shoot and kill him so that Buster could receive Alec's $10 million life insurance payout. So he was arrested for that. He posted bond, he checked himself into drug rehab, and then he was arrested for felony fraud charges in the Satterfield case. Then his bail was denied, his assets were frozen. And finally, he's now been put on trial for the double homicide of his wife and son. And it's fairly obvious that he killed his wife and son. I mean, like, all the evidence stacks up in favor of having killed his wife and son. His testimony yesterday was kind of a shocker, because the first rule of lawyering is never put the defendant on the stand. And so here he was yesterday saying he did not kill his wife and son.
On June 7th, 2021, did you take this gun or any gun like it and shoot your son Paul in the chest in the feed room at your property off Moselle Road?
No, I did not.
Mr. Murdoch, did you take this gun or any gun like it and blow your son's brains out on June 7th or any day or any time?
No, I did not.
Mr. Murdoch, did you take a 300 blackout such as this and fire it into your wife Maggie's leg, torso, or any part of her body?
No, I did not.
Did you shoot a 300 blackout into her head, causing her death?
Mr. Griffin, I didn't shoot my wife or my son anytime. Ever.
Well, there are a few problems for him. One is that he claimed that he was not anywhere near the scene of the crime. And it turns out he was totally lying, because his son was taking a Snapchat, and in the background of Snapchat, minutes before the murder, his dad's voice can be heard. And so that forced Murdoch to admit that he had lied to the cops and then continued to lie about the cops about his whereabouts the night of the murder. He blamed that on his opioid addiction, which does not explain why you're lying to the cops about you being, like, right there when somebody gets killed. And then, of course, there was the moment that he was really looking for. The moment that he was looking for is where he was going to break down on the stand.
Did you see them on the ground when you're pulling up in your Suburban?
I did.
And what'd you do when you came to a stop, Alec?
I think I jumped out of my car. I'm not exactly sure what I did, but no, I got out of my car. I know I ran back to my car, called 911. I don't know. I don't know why I tried to turn him over. Me and my boys laying face down. He's done the way he's done. Head was the way his head was. I could see his brain laying on the sidewalk. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I tried to turn him over. Tried to grab him by the belt loop. And try to turn him over.
Well, listen, there's no other suspect in this case, as far as I'm aware. And I will say this guy's been in the courtroom a long time, so that appears to be fairly good acting. That is my belief about the situation. We'll keep an eye on that case because obviously it's making national headlines. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The House Committee on Education is investigating whether the University of Pennsylvania violated any laws related to President Biden's classified documents probe.
In a letter sent to Education Secretary Miguel Cardona Friday, Chairwoman Virginia Fox from North Carolina and three other committee Republicans demanded documents and communications between the Department of Education and the university concerning classified material found at its Penn Biden Center in Washington, D.C. The lawmakers voiced concerns about whether the university's mishandling of such documents poses a national security threat. GOP Representatives Jim Banks of Indiana, James Comer of Kentucky, and Michelle Steele of California co-signed the letter. Last November, some classified documents were reportedly found at the Penn Biden Center, a think tank where Biden used an office as vice president. Edwin Mora, Washington.
The Republican-led House Oversight Committee wants the Treasury Department, a Treasury Department official to testify in the investigation into the Biden family finances. The FDA is facing a new lawsuit over access to abortion medication. A dozen Democratic state attorneys general filed the suit, claiming access is unnecessarily limited and restricted. The Fed appears likely to keep raising interest rates, correspondent Bob Agnew reports.
The Commerce Department says consumer prices rose 0.6% from December to January, up sharply from November to December's 0.2% increase. On a year-over-year basis, prices rose 5.4%. That's up from 5.3% annual increase seen in December. The report also showed consumer spending rose 1.8% last month compared to December after falling the previous month. Since March of last year, the Fed has attacked inflation by raising its key interest rate 8 times, a trend many analysts fear will now continue. Biden reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
China is attacking the U.S. patent system, stealing American innovations, and we are helping them do it.
The Chinese Communist Party intends to surpass us and to be the world leader in innovative technology.
Innovation Race, the shocking new movie from the Tea Party Patriots, exposes the truth. China will use our own technology to threaten our economic and military security.
Dominating technology means you dominate the world itself. This is a race that we cannot afford to lose because we're not going to have a country.
If China gains control over 5G technology with a flip of a switch, they could remotely turn off our phones, our cars, even our power grid.
We've lost sight of what it is to protect this nation.
We need to up our game.
In today's high-tech world, there's no prize for second place. Watch Innovation Race, available now on demand or DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
More problems with lithium batteries.
New York City officials say lithium-ion batteries used to power electric bicycles and scooters have already sparked 22 fires that caused 36 injuries and 2 deaths this year. Fire Commissioner Laura Cavanaugh says that's 4 times the number of fires linked to batteries by this time last year. Cavanaugh said Friday that Mayor Eric Adams' administration is working with the City Council and Federal Consumer Product Safety Commission on additional regulations for the batteries. She said it's also important to educate the public on their proper use and storage. Keith Peters reporting.
More lawsuits are being filed against Norfolk Southern following the toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. The Ohio-based law firm filed the class action against the railroad on behalf of all residents within 30 miles of the derailment site. The suit is pushing for the creation of a fund for medical monitoring, new testing, and cleaning procedures. News and analysis at townhall.com. A Chinese diplomat has accused the U.S. Consul General in Hong Kong of meddling in its affairs by saying the city's freedoms were eroding.
Consul General Gregory May gave a video address last month in which he expressed concern over diminished liberties in Hong Kong. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs Office in Hong Kong said its commissioner, Liu Guangyang, met with May to express his objection to his comments. Liu apparently warned May not to cross red lines.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlie's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M Brew.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, folks, there are certain jobs in the federal government that are supposed to be cush jobs. Secretary of Transportation is one of those jobs. You haven't really heard of past Secretaries of Transportation. Quick, name the last three. You can't, because no one's ever heard of that particular secretary. There are certain secretaries you've heard of, the Secretaries of State or the Secretaries of Defense. And then there are a bunch that you really never think about, like the Secretary of Commerce or the Secretary of Transportation. But they actually do have real jobs. Now, Pete Buttigieg has never treated the Transportation Department like a real job. He's always treated it as though it's essentially a giant photo op, which is why there are videos of him riding his bike around Washington, D.C. after taking his bike out of the back of a car. It's the reason why he was appearing mostly on the news for the first year of his existence as Secretary of Transportation as a new father who had taken off 2 months for no apparent reason and then had not come back until people noticed that he was gone. Pete Buttigieg has never taken his job particularly seriously because, let's be real about this, the executive branch is filled with non-serious jobs. Secretary of Transportation, it can be serious, but can also be a cush job. And this is particularly true for Pete Buttigieg, who is a media creation, who's been protected by the media, built by the media, and guarded by the media. And like a hothouse flower, Pete Buttigieg, when exposed to the elements, immediately wilts. And this is exactly what we are seeing in East Palestine, Ohio. I'm not sure I've ever seen a politician implode in as dramatic a fashion as Pete Buttigieg is currently imploding. Now, again, he should have imploded after he took 2 months off for paternity leave and no one noticed. At that point, everybody should have said, oh, he's a career useless person. Got it. But no. Instead, they decided that they were going to make him a hero of the Republic trademark. They were going to make him a hero of the Republic because he was showing fathers everywhere what it meant to be a good dad with your husband at home, having pushed the baby out. Well, no, actually, in any case, he was a hero of the Republic. And that maintained, right? He was a prospective presidential candidate. People in the Democratic Party were talking about how Kamala Harris was awful at her job, true. And Pete Buttigieg was the heir apparent to the old man. If Joe Biden fell down on the job, it would be young Pete Buttigieg, fresh-faced directly from the cover of Mad Magazine, who was going to bring the Democratic forward into the new age. After all, he was intersectional. I mean, sure, he's a white dude, but he was a gay white dude. And that meant that he would be the perfect candidate for president of the United States for a coalition that is mainly liberal, college-educated women, and minorities who really are not fond of Pete Buttigieg. It was a bad strategy, but it was the thing they were pursuing. Well, now it turns out that the rubber has hit the road, because if you are a photo op guy, if you're in a photo op position, then the thing that you really can't screw up is the photo op. That is the thing more than anything else you can't screw up. Like, nobody's going to look into the ins and outs of Pete Buttigieg's performance in terms of railroad strikes, which is actually his job, right? No one is actually going to look into that and say, is he doing a good job at that? Because that's complicated stuff. That's policy stuff. What people are going to look into is whether he looks sympathetic when something really intense happens, like, you know, a giant mushroom cloud outside of an American town after a train is blown up. Now, the media have been trying to say, well, you know, Elaine Chao never visited any of these places. Okay, a few things. One, Elaine Chao was never a presidential candidate. Everyone knows Pete Buttigieg is a presidential candidate. Number two, all of the train derailments during the Trump era did not involve a giant mushroom cloud of toxic waste emerging into the atmosphere and killing, at last count, 43,000 aquatic animals. According to the Washington Post, Ohio residents with headaches and nausea around the site where a train carrying hazardous chemicals veered off the tracks are worried about the long-term impact of the derailment on human health. The effect on animals is already becoming clear. The derailment of East Palestine potentially killed more than 43,000 fish, amphibians, crustaceans, and other aquatic animals in nearby streams, according to state officials. It will take time for the stream ecosystem to recover, said Mary Mertz, director of the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. We know it won't be quick, she said, but it's going to come back. Now, and how much of this is on Pete Buttigieg as opposed to on the EPA or Norfolk Southern, the railroad company? And how much of this is just chance? How much of this is just bad stuff happening? All of that is a fair game. It's a fair question. Is it really Pete Buttigieg's fault that a train fell off the rails and then the EPA decided to blow the thing up? Is that really Buttigieg's fault? I think in many ways, the answer is no. I will tell you what is Pete Buttigieg's fault, not doing his actual real job, which is to show up and cut ribbons. Hey, that's like, he has a cush job, and he blew the cush job. That's the part of this that is going to come back to haunt him. Because if you're a Democrat, and you are in a photo opposition, you have but one job. And your one job is not policy. Your one job is to appear as though you care about the humans. And here's the thing. Pete Buttigieg, I'm not sure he really cares about the humans. He cares about Pete Buttigieg a lot. I'm not sure that he really cares about the humans. And this is why Pete Buttigieg I think his political career is essentially over at this point. So he went to East Palestine, Ohio, the day after Donald Trump. So first of all, political botchery of the highest order. The East Palestine, Ohio derailment happened almost 3 weeks ago. I believe it's 3 weeks ago now. And for 3 weeks, he did nothing. It wasn't like he was going to Ukraine with President Biden. It wasn't like he had a really busy job. He was on a bunch of confabs that the Secretary of Transportation usually goes to and speaking in front of a step and repeat or sitting on a stage and talking into a microphone. At any time, he could have taken a private jet, which is his preferred method of travel, and he could have gone to East Palestine, Ohio for like 3 hours, and he could have sat there and he could have comforted people. He could have done those things, and he didn't do those things. And that was a mistake. It was a large-scale mistake. And then Trump really showed him up because Trump was like, hey, I can do it. I'm not a member of the government. I don't have an obligation to do it, but I can do it. I can take a plane from Mar-a-Lago to Ohio. I can buy everybody some McDonald's. I can bring them some water. It ain't that hard. And meanwhile, Pete Buttigieg is still sitting there going on national television and explaining why he won't do it. Giant fail for Pete Buttigieg. I think he has finished as a presidential candidate for sure. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about cancel culture on social media. The left would love to silence and boycott any voices they don't particularly agree with. I mean, we are now finding out, for example, that the State Department is literally coordinating with fact checkers in order to suppress sites that you love. Well, social media is supposed to be an open platform. Instead of letting the social media sites cancel your rights of free speech, how about canceling them instead? The best way to do that, you don't have to dump your social media account. All you have to do is actually protect your data, because that is the way they make all of their money. I use ExpressVPN to protect my own data. If you've ever wondered how free-to-access sites make their cash, the answer is they track your searches, video history, everything you click on, and then they sell on your valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN could not be easier to set up. With one tap of a button on your phone or computer, you're now protected. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from hackers. It's finally time to say no to censorship, take back your online privacy, and stop the tech bros. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro to learn more. Pete Buttigieg, he shows up, and the first thing that he says is, we've been here from the very first hours of this thing. Here he was.
That's exactly why we're here. That's why we've been here from the first hours of the incident as an administration. And it's why our interest both in what happened here in East Palestine and in keeping our railroads safe doesn't go away when some other hot news story comes into the headlines. We're going to be here day in, day out, year in, year out, making our railroad safer and making sure Norfolk Southern meets its responsibilities.
I love this. He says, we've been here from the very first hours. This is so reminiscent of when Kamala Harris said to Lester Holt on national television, we've been to the border. And he's like, well, you haven't been to the border. He's like, well, that's true. I haven't been to the border. It's that. Yeah, Pete, I assume that there were some government agencies who arrive at the site of a disaster like this. I assume that is the case. You are not one of those people. You are the famous person. You're the person who's supposed to be in charge. Again, I think that virtually all photo ops are stupid, but that is the game. And the only reason that you are a famous person is because you are good at the photo ops. So if you had one job, dude, one job, and you blew it. And then he talked about how the country should wrap its arms around East Palestine. Yeah, I do not believe you at all.
They deserve a different level of support, a human level of support. The country should be wrapping their arms around the people of East Palestine, not as a political football, not as an ideological flashpoint, not as a gotcha moment, but as thousands of human beings whose lives got upended through no end, through no fault of their own. And I think that includes visits, not just big official visits from the government, but just people who've seen the news and whose hearts go out to the community here.
Wait, so this is the most galling form of politics, is he totally blew it. And he's like, well, I'm here to tell you that people really should visit. You are the question, my friend. It's like, what? Can you imagine? Like, this is... Okay, my wife tells me to take out the garbage. And I don't. Let's say I just don't take out the garbage for 3 days. And then finally, I'm starting to take out the garbage. She's like, I noticed that you didn't take out the garbage for 3 days. And I'm like, well, you know, people should take out the garbage. In fact, everyone should take out the garbage. In fact, it's very important that everyone wrap their arms around the garbage and take out the garbage to the curb. Really, really. My wife would look at me cross-eyed and say, like, what are you talking about? You were supposed to do this and you did not, and now you missed garbage day. Like, what is he talking about? Why is he lecturing the rest of us on what we should do with East Palestine? Your job, dude! You! It's, he is the guy in the job interview, as we were about to see. He is the guy in the job interview, Pete Buttigieg, who you ask, what is your greatest flaw? And he says, well, I'm just too much of a perfectionist. I'm too detail-oriented. That is my greatest flaw. I don't think Pete Buttigieg thinks that he has flaws. I don't think he thinks he did anything wrong here from a political point of view, which is kind of amazing. Now, here's Pete Buttigieg quasi-apologizing. This is not an apology. He says, my problem is I care too much. That's my big problem, is the caring of about these people too much. I had to stay away because I cared so much. That's how much I cared. Is I didn't call, I didn't write, I didn't come. That's how much I cared. Wow.
Now that you've seen the records and spoken to the people, was it a mistake not to come here sooner?
You know, what I tried to do was balance two things. My desire to be involved and engaged and on the ground, which is how I am generally wired to act, and my desire to follow the norm of transportation secretaries, allowing NTSB to really lead the initial stages of the public-facing work.
So he had a balance. He's deep and abiding desire to show up in East Palestine, which no one would have stopped him from doing. And his desire to follow the... Yes, it's because he cares too much, guys. He just cares too much. And then he says, you know, the big problem for me is I feel so strongly. And yet, it's hard for me because as a stoic example of masculinity par excellence, I try to hold back my feelings, but I feel so strongly. It's so disingenuous. Everyone knows it's disingenuous.
Before you send your first tweet expressing concern for the residents of East Palestine, a week and a half after the accident happened, in hindsight, was that waiting too long to express anything hours after you had addressed the makeup of work crews on highway construction projects just that very day?
The answer to your question is yes. I felt strongly about this and could have expressed that sooner. Again, I was taking pains to respect the role that I have and the role that I don't have, but that should not have stopped me from weighing in about how I felt about what was happening to this community.
I felt so strongly. My feelings are so strong, so strong. Well, he's a train wreck, a battered train wreck. And now his presidential hopes are a train wreck. Unfortunately for him, he also lost his train of thought. Unfortunate language here from the Secretary of Transportation.
And there's no question that there have been enormous amounts of both information and misinformation injected into this situation, none of which is to the benefit of the community when it comes to that misinformation.
The Norfolk, sir.
So I lost my train of thought. That's what I had to say about that.
Oops. Whoops. That presser really derailed right there. Well, then Buttigieg ran away from the media. So I was told during the Trump administration that if you didn't answer questions from the media, this made you a threat to democracy and the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. Pete Buttigieg has no such concerns because, of course, he's a Democrat. Here he was, basically running away from the media yesterday.
Mayor Pete, why did it take you an entire 2.5 weeks to actually get here to respond to East Palestine? Will you apologize to the residents of this city for the slow response? To the government's slow response, do you have any apology?
Well, bye. Also, that was not even the worst. The worst is the Buttigieg press secretary actually called a reporter aggressive for asking questions. Oh, man. This is some rough and tumble stuff right here.
You guys, I would like you guys to turn your
camera off. You're not on my camera.
Well, I'm on a camera. I would like the camera to be off, and then I'm happy to talk to you guys.
Well, if you're the press secretary of the Secretary of the Department of Transportation, don't you think you should be able to ask questions from the American public?
Absolutely. I would like to do it without the camera on.
Can I ask that?
I think that is a little bit aggressive. That's
why. Why is it aggressive? On behalf of the American people, I'm just asking why he has not been here until Donald Trump came.
He's asked him. He's asked three several times, and then he turned the cameras off, and they will not do it.
Turn off the cameras. Turn those off! Just genius level stuff here from the Secretary of Transportation and his staff. They are really, really good at this. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First, let's talk about cancel culture on social media. The left would love to silence and boycott any voices they don't particularly agree with. I mean, we are now finding out, for example, that the State Department is literally coordinating with fact checkers in order to suppress sites that you love. Well, social media is supposed to be an open platform. Instead of letting the social media sites cancel your rights to free speech, how about canceling them instead? The best way to do that, you don't have to dump your social media account. All you have to do is actually protect your data, because that is the way they make all of their money. I use ExpressVPN to protect my own data. If you've ever wondered how free-to-access sites make their cash, the answer is they track your searches, video history, everything you click on, and then they sell on your valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN could not be easier to set up. With one tap of a button on your phone or computer, you're now protected. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from hackers. It's finally time to say no to censorship, take back your online privacy, and stop the tech bros. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, more Pete Buttigieg response to his own malfeasance over in East Palestine, Ohio. This is Ben Shapiro Show.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
The city of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Pete Buttigieg had one job. That was go to East Palestine and appear sympathetic, and he didn't do it. Okay, so it's been a bad week for Pete Buttigieg, bad several weeks for Pete Buttigieg. There's an entire article in Politico talking about how frustrated Pete Buttigieg is, because that, of course, is the real issue, is that he's frustrated. Quote, publicly and privately, signs are growing that the transportation secretary's usual Eagle Scout patience is giving way to frustration. He has gotten into Twitter spats with U.S. senators. His curt brush-off of a Daily Caller reporter who ambushed him during a walk turned into a viral video that has drawn more than 3 million views since Tuesday night. On Wednesday, Buttigieg's allies were complaining he's taking an unfair pounding over the disaster, all because of his perceived ambitions as a one-time and future presidential hopeful. Pete Buttigieg is taking a lot of bullets for the president on this, one senior Democrat said on Wednesday, insisting on anonymity to talk about a crisis that the person was not authorized to discuss. Well, yeah, this is really the funny part, is that he's mad at Biden. And guess what? He should be mad at Biden. He should be mad at Biden because Biden basically avoided all blame for this thing by never answering a question. And all the questions instead went to Buttigieg. In fact, CNN's Jeremy Diamond actually asked Karine Jean-Pierre, why doesn't Biden visit? And she didn't have a good answer on this thing.
So I guess I'm just struggling to understand why the president wouldn't go to East Palestine. Does it simply not meet the bar for a presidential visit?
Look, I want to be very clear here. There's no reason to struggle, I don't think, on this question. I think when you look at how the federal agencies have responded from day one and took this very seriously and reacted within hours of the derailment and was on the ground. This is the Environmental Protection Agency, as I was saying. They are the ones that deal with these types of chemical spills. They are the ones that are the leaders on this.
That didn't answer the question as to why Biden didn't go there. He literally just went to Ukraine, and we're sending billions of dollars to Ukraine. He didn't have to go there. He went there because he understands the value of a photo op. And then she was asked about whether he actually will in the future go visit East Palestine. She's like, nah, not really.
What I want to say is that it didn't start with the Environmental Protection Agency. Again, FEMA,
yeah,
CDC.
But that's all different from a presidential
decision. No, I want to be very clear here. I don't have anything to share on a presidential visit, not at this time, or anything to announce. But it does matter that the president put forth a multi-agency kind of reaction to this.
That's the thing that matters. It's not that Biden has no care about going there. The only thing that really matters is, you know, that there's a government and the government exists. So she's blaming Buttigieg right there. So in the same press conference where Karine Jean-Pierre, world's most untalented press secretary, is struggling to explain why Joe Biden is not going to East Palestine, she's bragging about Biden's trip to Kyiv.
The trip that President Biden took to Kyiv, as many of you reported on, was historic. It was brave. Many of you talked about how we heard the sirens wailing in the background as the president was on the ground. Remember, there is no military on the ground in Ukraine, U.S. military on the ground in Ukraine, and the president took this trip to send a very clear message, not just to the people of Ukraine, not just to Russia, but the world, how, again, we have an unwavering support for the people of Ukraine.
Again, they could prioritize both. They clearly are not. And this is an administration with priorities. So, for example, one of their big priorities is diversity. Karine Jean-Pierre gave unintentionally one of the worst defenses of diversity ever. She said, you know, the really important thing to notice about Joe Biden's cabinet, a cabinet filled with such luminaries as Pete Buttigieg and Kamala Harris, this amazingly diverse cabinet filled with geniuses like Miguel Cardona and filled with just absolute wonders of the human species. It's a very diverse cabinet. I mean, sure, they all suck. The one thing that unifies them, they suck at their jobs, but so diverse. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre.
The cabinet is majority people of color for the first time in history. The cabinet is majority female for the first time in history. A majority of White House senior staff identify as female. 40% of White House senior staff identify as part of the racially diverse communities. And a record 7 assistants to the president are openly LGBTQ+. So, again, this is something that the president prides himself on, that he actually has taken action to show the diversity of this administration.
Guys, they suck at their jobs, but Marsha Fudge, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, is black, and Pete Buttigieg is gay, and Jennifer Granholm identifies as a woman. Alejandro Mayorkas does identify as a Hispanic man, as a Latinx human at Homeland Security. Like, this is the really important stuff that you need to keep in mind. Priorities for this administration. Alrighty, coming up, Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary, she has laid out another priority of this administration. No, it's not spending money on American citizens. This is the Bench Bureau Show.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, the hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the simplest with the hop.
Thank you for calling BNT Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH. Hi, this is Doug Thule. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, Pasta, and More, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy Mambo Pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial Steak Salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Redding at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
The
the groundhog saw his shadow, which means more winter weather woes for your vehicle. The good news is Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive can repair those minor scratches and scrapes, and their experienced technicians can also perform major auto body repairs. Plus, Crossroads Auto Body Repair offers full body paint jobs. Crossroads Auto Body Repair. New name, same great service and location. 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
HJ, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, this administration has its priorities in order. You know, we've heard about the diversity of the cabinet, very important priority. Other priorities include spending $10 billion more on shoring up the economy of Ukraine. And the good news is we have a Treasury Secretary that has nothing to do with Ukraine talking about it. Janet Yellen, you're at the Treasury Department. Your job is to tamp down the massive inflation rate and prevent economic stagnation. And yet, there you are, traveling around the world talking about how we need to send more money to Ukraine. I noticed that Ukraine is not part of your remit at the Secretary of the Treasury.
Our military assistance includes key defensive weapons that Ukraine has asked for, such as the Patriot missile defense system. And our economic assistance is making Ukraine's resistance possible by supporting the home front, funding critical public services, and helping keep the government running. In the coming months, we expect to provide around $10 billion in additional economic support for Ukraine.
That's exciting to have the Secretary of the Treasury announcing all of that. That's really important stuff. Other things that we have been told by this administration, again, world's most untalented press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, a walking example of why affirmative action hiring is a bad idea. Karine Jean-Pierre, she says, you know, guys, you may not have noticed it, but the border is going amazing. Now, that's a lie. It's not true, but here we go.
On day one, the president put forward a comprehensive immigration reform proposal, and that's showing that the president was taking this very seriously. And the way that we see this is Congress needs to act. And what was happening currently right now is Congress is not acting. So what you're seeing from the Department of Homeland Security is they are using the tools that is being presented to them so that we can deal with this situation and do it in a safe and orderly and humane way.
What a joke. What an absolute joke. But again, Joe Biden's priorities are clear. One of his big priorities is reshaping the World Bank. So the World Bank is essentially, it was created as a way to give loans to countries that were going to restructure their finances in more responsible ways as they emerged from the vestiges of the Cold War. Now Joe Biden wants to use the World Bank to give giant loans, subsidized loans, to countries on behalf of redistributionism and climate change. According to Politico, Bank President David Malpass's abrupt announcement that he will step down from his post a year early opens the way for Joe Biden to choose someone who embraces the new goal of fundamentally overhauling the bank's work to focus more on climate and other global challenges. Malpass is a Trump appointee. He did not fit the administration's vision for the job. More than a dozen close watchers of the bank who were interviewed for the story said the rift and its resolution allows the U.S. to reshape the institution to tackle climate change. Yay! So now Joe Biden is going to select somebody to preside over presumably billions and billions and billions of dollars to give subsidized loans to country on the basis of climate change. It's all going, his priorities are so in order. It's amazing. Now, here's the problem for the Democrats. They're wedded to the old man. They have to be wedded to the old man. Pete Buttigieg just derailed. And meanwhile, you have Kamala Harris, and Kamala Harris is still sitting there. And people try not to think about her because it's too painful if you're a Democrat to think about Kamala Harris. Which brings us to today's episode of Deep Thoughts with Kamala Harris.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Kamala Harris.
Think of it then in the context of, like, I like to think about a lot of things in the context of a Venn diagram. I love Venn diagrams. Always ask, is there a Venn diagram for this? I'm telling you, it's fascinating when you do. So, Venn diagram, those three circles, right?
Ladies, find you a man who loves you, like Kamala Harris loves Venn diagrams. Like, it's the height of your understanding of politics is the Venn diagram. So much so. She's not like, you know what I really enjoy? I enjoy a solid multifactorial regression analysis. You wonder why they are wed to the old man. You wonder why they will defibrillate that guy every morning until he is capable of running for president again. That would be the reason. It's more on this in just one second. First, if you're a responsible human being, you need life insurance. It's just that simple because you don't know when God is going to take you. You're walking down the street and suddenly you have a heart attack and a piano falls on your head at the same time. Well, as you are making your way off this earthly terrain, you think to yourself, I should have listened to Shapiro and headed on over to Policy Genius. A good life insurance plan can give you peace of mind. If something happens to you, your family will have a safety net to cover mortgage payments, college costs, or other expenses so they can get back on their feet and focus on what's most important. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $39 per month for $2 million in coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees. Your personal details are private. No wonder they have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes to see how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. Okay, meanwhile, in some actual good news, Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, yesterday passed House Bill 1, Senate Bill 1. It is the Protecting Children from Gender Mutilation Act. The bill prevents minors in Tennessee from initiating transgender-related puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgeries. This is a big win for Daily Wire. It's particularly a big win for our friend Matt Walsh, who did an incredible rally to end child mutilation in Tennessee. I will say, the opposition to the bill in Tennessee is totally insane. I mean, totally crazy. I mean, there was a clip yesterday going around of Representative Gloria Johnson, Democrat of Knoxville, saying that the Daily Wire, that we are all creating a vortex of evil. Vortex of evil. First of all, I kind of want that to be our new mantra here at Daily Wire. To be like Daily, like Washington Post is democracy is Washington Post. Democracy dies in darkness. Daily Wire, vortex of evil. It's kind of awesome. It sounds like a Transformers team up or something. Anyway, here is Representative Gloria Johnson from Knoxville ranting and raving about how 14-year-old girls who are confused about their gender identity because they've been watching too many TikTok videos really need to be able to cut off their healthy breast tissue.
We have taken away a woman's right to determine her health care and her health outcomes. Now we've gone into children, but we've also gone into adults with a bill that's coming up with not allowing adults that care. So the reality is here we're targeting a group, again, just as we were on the last bill, and we are determining that a certain group of folks can't have hair. When a physician has an oath to take care of their patients, and that's what they do. And we know that the major health organizations agree with these treatments and understand that they are life-saving in many situations. I just want to caution that this body should not be telling physicians what to do.
Well, the first rule of physicians is do no harm, obviously. And it seems pretty obvious that you are doing harm when you take gender-confused teenage girls, and you pump them filled with testosterone. Pretty obvious stuff. So that is a big win for Daily Wire. It is a big win for Matt Walsh in particular. And congratulations to the Republicans in Tennessee for doing the sane and rational thing. Meanwhile, again, social contagion is, in fact, a thing. The numbers are astonishing. For people who are suggesting that the massive outbreak of transgenderism as a species of human behavior is merely the limitations of society being exploded, now people being able to flourish the way they originally would have. Let me just give you some statistics. So, Gallup now has a poll out, and it shows how people are identifying in terms of sexual orientation and gender identity. And the generational difference, astonishing. So, if you look at the Silent Generation would be the generation right after World War II. That generation, 1.7% identified as LGBT. That was 0.2% lesbian, 0.8% gay, 0.6% bisexual, not even measurable transgender. For baby boomers, it was 2.7%. So a marginal increase from 1.7% to 2.7% among the baby boomers, who were quite sexually permissive, as it turns out, the baby boomers. And that included 0.7% lesbian, 1% gay, 0.7% bisexual, 0.2% transgender, and 0.2% other. Generation X, right, even the generation after that, only 3.3%. Then you see an absolute explosion among millennials. 11.2%. Now, what's hilarious about that is that 6.9% of that 11.2%, well, more than half of that, are people who are identifying as bisexual. So the statistics are now kind of skewing radically. But even among millennials, only 1% were identifying as transgender. Now, that is a threefold increase from Generation X. But then you look at Generation Z. Generation Z, 20% are identifying as LGBT. 20%, 19.7%, 2.2% are identifying as lesbian. That is an increase of more than 20-fold from the Silent Generation. 3.4% identifying as gay. That is about a 4-fold increase from the Silent Generation. Bisexual, you have seen, I am not kidding you, a 20 times increase, not 20%, 20 times increase in bisexual identity from the Silent Generation to today's Generation Z. Trans, you now have 1.9% of all people in Generation Z identifying as transgender. 1.9% compared to 0.05%, less than that in the Silent Generation. You're talking about thousands of percentage points of increase here. Are you telling me that this is an outgrowth of simple biological bottlenecking? Or is this what happens when an entire society decides that identifying as a sexual minority is good for you and beneficial for you? It should not come as a surprise, by the way, that there was a survey that came out over the course of the last 48 hours from YouGov, and it found that an increasing number of Americans are describing their ideal relationship as something other than complete monogamy or moving away from monogamy. This obviously is correlating highly with societal happiness. I mean, everyone's so happy and fulfilled. Look around you. You can see from every poll how happy and fulfilled everyone is as they abandon all of the old institutions and the old ways like monogamous marriage and being in love while you're married with somebody. I mean, these things are old-fashioned. So now you have a lot of people who are saying that they prefer non-monogamy. Not just that. And a growing percentage of Americans are saying that they believe that polygamy will be legalized. Two-thirds of Americans, 68%, still oppose the legalization of polygamy. But only 52% of 18 to 29-year-olds oppose polygamy. Which, of course, I mean, let's be real about this. Why should you oppose polygamy? If you believe that all traditional sexual structures should be blown up, what difference does it make if three people consent or four people consent or nine people consent? What difference does it make to you? This is what happens when radical individual autonomy overruns all of the intermediate institutions of society. Greater societal unhappiness. Greater individual unhappiness. All in the name of the individual. All in the name of authenticity. There's more on this in just 1 second. First, if you're a responsible human being, you need life insurance. It's just that simple. Because you don't know when God is going to take you. You're walking down the street and suddenly you have a heart attack and a piano falls on your head at the same time. Well, as you are making your way off this earthly terrain, you think to yourself, I should have listened to Shapiro and headed on over to Policy Genius. A good life insurance plan can give you peace of mind. If something happens to you, your family will have a safety net to cover mortgage payments, college costs, or other expenses so they can get back on their feet and focus on what's most important. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $39 per month for $2 million in coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees. Your personal details are private. No wonder they have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could say. That's PolicyGenius.com. Already coming up, the Alex Murdaugh trial is captivating the nation. We'll bring you the latest on that. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
What's being hidden from us? About the COVID-19 scenario? About covert climate engineering operations that are wreaking havoc with weather all over the world? About the totality of unfolding and accelerating global environmental collapse? If you're willing to face and investigate shocking, verifiable realities that mainstream media sources and their distract and divide talking heads will never tell you, tune into the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour, Saturday at 11 a.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, is the Alec Murdoch trial? I'll tell you the truth. I haven't been following this over the course of the last couple of months, but it is kind of fascinating and it's become a national issue. If you haven't been actually following this story, it is one of the craziest stories ever. So actually, Vox did a good rundown on this. So the Murdochs have wielded power over South Carolina's low country, the wedge at the bottom of the state, for over 100 years, ever since Randolph Murdoch Sr. founded his law office in Hampton County in 1910. The firm eventually grew into a large, powerful practice, continued by his son, Randolph Jr., and his grandson, Randolph III. From 1920 to 2006, all three men successfully held the post of solicitor, that's prosecutor, for South Carolina's 14th Circuit Court. So this is a big legal family over in South Carolina. The 86-year stretch serving as circuit solicitors is the longest such family legacy in American history. Well, Randolph IV and Alex, two of Randolph III's son, followed in their father's footsteps and became lawyers. Because South Carolina eventually prohibited lawyers from serving in those conflicting roles as like a public prosecutor and a private attorney, eventually they just started a law firm. Alex, it's pronounced Alec, I guess, was a golden child who sired golden children, born in 1967. He followed in the family footsteps. He studied law at University of South Carolina. And then he got married, and then he had a couple of sons, Buster, born in 1996, and Paul, born in 1999. And they lived in opulence. They had a beach house, a couple of private islands, a 1,772-acre estate known as Mizell. But apparently, everything was wild, up to and including Alec embezzling a crap load of money from his business partners, from his clients as well. And a weird amount of death seemed to follow around Alec Murdoch, like a weird amount of death. So in 2015... there was a 19-year-old Hampton student named Stephen Smith. He phoned his mom to tell her he'd run out of gas. Later that night, he was found lying in the middle of the road miles away from his truck. He'd apparently died of blunt force trauma. His body had been laid out in the middle of the road. Initially, the South Carolina Highway Patrol assumed that Stephen was the victim of a hit and run, and they closed the case. A police noted that the scene looked staged. Town gossip began to swirl that Smith was actually dating Buster Murdoch and that the Murdoch brothers had done something about all this. That was all rumor stuff. Then in 2018, there's another death. Gloria Satterfield. Gloria Satterfield was Murdoch's longtime housekeeper. And apparently she had a severe head injury February 2nd, 2018, and then died on February 26th of complications, including a stroke. It's not clear exactly what caused her death. The coroner was never notified. Satterfield's body was never autopsied. So it wouldn't have been suspicious, except for the fact that apparently Alec Murdoch and two other men, a banker and a fellow attorney, conspired to steal Satterfield's $4.3 million insurance policy by misleading Satterfield's sons and diverting all the funds to Alec himself through a phony business that Alec created. Which, I mean, talk about audacious. So the maid dies and your first move is to steal the life insurance money? That is a wild scheme. Okay, then, 2019, another death. On February 24th, 2019, 19-year-old Paul, right, the other son, and a group of his friends were returning to the Murdoch estate by boat. Apparently, Paul was really, really drunk, maybe high, and he was navigating the twisting waterways, and apparently he crashed the boat into a bridge, and a bunch of passengers fell from the boat, including Mallory Beach, and she died. The authorities didn't record his intoxication levels at the scene, but everybody confirmed that the guy was drunk off his ass. And this apparently led to a flurry of lawsuits and a criminal investigation focused on Paul Murdoch. And this opened a lot of boxes for Alec because there's a lot of wondering about his fraudulent activities and his finances. And then in 2021, there was more public interest that was going around Paul Murdoch's trial. They decided to put him on trial. Meanwhile, Alec, his wife was estranged from him and apparently was living at the beach house and looking into divorce. And Alec was neck deep in these fraud schemes. He apparently said that he was having a 20-year opioid addiction. Okay. Well, on June 7th, 2021, Alec allegedly lured Maggie to Mizzell, right? That's the 772-acre estate, and prompted her to text a friend that Alec was acting fishy. She wrote to her friend, he's up to something. Upon arriving at the estate, Maggie met her son Paul at the family's dog kennels. While they were there, both the mom and the son were murdered with two different weapons. Maggie was shot with an assault rifle. Paul was shot with a shotgun. Alec appeared on the scene shortly afterward and then called 911 to report the deaths. The double homicide caused the whole thing to collapse. So he immediately fell under suspicion of murder because that's really, really, really suspicious. People getting killed on your property who are your family members. Very often the first suspect is the family member. And this was made worse because on September 3rd, 2021, Murdoch resigned from the family's law firm over embezzlement. The firm later sued him. The very next day, Alec called 911 to report a strange roadside incident in which he claimed to have blown a tire. When a stranger stopped to help him, Alex reported, they shot him in the head instead. The shot grazed him, but it turns out that he later admitted that he'd intended to have a friend shoot and kill him so that Buster could receive Alex's $10 million life insurance payout. So he was arrested for that. He posted bond, he checked himself into drug rehab, and then he was arrested for felony fraud charges in the Satterfield case. Then his bail was denied, his assets were frozen. And finally, he's now been put on trial for the double homicide of his wife and son. And it's fairly obvious that he killed his wife and son. I mean, like, all the evidence stacks up in favor of having killed his wife and son. His testimony yesterday was kind of a shocker because the first rule of lawyering is never put the defendant on the stand. And so here he was yesterday saying he did not kill his wife and son.
On June 7th, 2021, did you take this gun or any gun like it and shoot your son Paul in the chest in the feed room at your property off Moselle Road?
No, I did not.
Mr. Murdoch, did you take this gun or any gun like it and blow your son's brains out on June 7th or any day or any time?
No, I did not.
Mr. Murdoch, did you take a 300 blackout such as this and fire it into your wife Maggie's leg, torso, or any part of her body?
No, I did not.
Did you shoot a 300 blackout into her head, causing her death?
Mr. Griffin, I didn't shoot my wife or my son anytime. Ever.
Well, there are a few problems for him. One is that he claimed that he was not anywhere near the scene of the crime. And it turns out he was totally lying because his son was taking a Snapchat. And in the background of Snapchat, minutes before the murder, his dad's voice can be heard. And so that forced Murdoch to admit that he had lied to the cops and then continued to lie about the cops about his whereabouts the night of the murder. He blamed that on his opioid addiction, which does not explain why you're lying to the cops about you being, like, right there when somebody gets killed. And then, of course, there was the moment that he was really looking for. The moment that he was looking for is where he's going to break down on the stand.
Did you see them on the ground when you're pulling up in your Suburban?
I did.
And what'd you do when you came to a stop, Alec?
I think I jumped out of my car. I'm not exactly sure what I did, but no, I got out of my car. I know I ran back to my car, called 911. I don't know. I don't know why I tried to turn him over. Me and my boys laying face down. He's done the way he's done. His head was the way his head was. I could see his brain laying on the sidewalk. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I tried to turn him over. To grab him by the belt loop. And try to turn him over.
Well, listen, there's no other suspect in this case, as far as I'm aware. And I will say this guy's been in the courtroom a long time, so that appears to be fairly good acting. That is my belief about the situation. We'll keep an eye on that case, because obviously he's making national headlines. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Hour from townhall.com. I'm Tasia Stevens. Today is the one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, but things have not worked out quite the way Russian President Vladimir Putin envisioned. Military affairs analyst, retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, says not only has Putin's prediction of a quick end to the war not materialized, the end of the war is nowhere in sight.
It would appear as if the Russians and the Ukrainians are preparing to mount some sort of offenses either here in the late winter or early spring, that will just lead to more carnage.
McGinnis spoke with the Salem Radio Network. The United States has announced a new round of sanctions on Russian companies and individuals. White House correspondent Greg Clexton reports.
1 year into Russia's war against Ukraine, the U.S. is taking fresh aim at Russian firms, banks, manufacturers, and people. Officials are seeking to punish those who aided the war effort and helped Russia evade sanctions over the past year. The action was announced in coordination with Group of Seven allies. The Biden administration will also further restrict exports to Russia and raise tariffs on some Russian products imported to the U.S. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Large numbers of Ukrainians are relocating to the U.S. The numbers are so large that the Biden administration has more than doubled its initial goal of 100,000 to more than 271,000. Some have been sponsored by an American, while others have crossed the U.S.-Mexico border. Heavy rain and snow are pounding California and other parts of the West in the latest winter storm to hit the United States. Meanwhile, Michigan is shivering through extended power outages caused by one of the worst ice storms there in a decade. The weather has closed major roads all across the country. It's caused traffic pileups. Schools have been closed due to the weather, and air traffic has been delayed. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Dennis Prager here. Sue and I mean it. Dogs are part of our family. We love Otto and Snoopy so much. There's nothing quite like their loyal companionship. So we provide them with Rough Greens. In fact, I just talked to my wife about it because we want them to be healthy and we want them to be with us as long as possible. That's true. I know Sebastian Gorka feels the same way.
The Pragers and I couldn't agree more. Our pups, Killian and Leia, rely on us to provide what's best for them. And naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black has packed Rough Greens full of vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, omega oils, and more that supplement their food in a way that has shown us great results. Trying out Rough Greens is an easy yes, recommended by me, Dr. G.
Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black here, and I'm so proud that the Pragers and Sebastian Gorka have entrusted their dog's health to Rough Greens. I'm so confident that Rough Greens can help your dog, I'm offering you a free Jumpstart trial bag. Just cover the shipping. Yes, your dog's food is dead food, but you can bring it back to life with Rough Greens. Go to RUFFGreens.com.
A famous shipwreck may have been discovered, correspondent Rita Foley reports.
Experts say a chunk of weather-beaten flotsam that washed up on a New York shoreline after Tropical Storm Ian last fall is likely part of the SS Savannah, a ship that ran aground and broke apart in 1821, 2 years after it became the first vessel to cross the Atlantic Ocean, partly under steam power. The roughly 13-foot square piece of wreckage was spotted in October off Fire Island. They'll now work to identify it. Explorers have searched for the Savannah for over two centuries, but have not found anything they could definitively link to the famous ship. I'm Rita Foley.
Well, for the second time in a month, a bear at the St. Louis Zoo figured out how to get out of his enclosure and enjoy a brief taste of freedom. Zoo officials say Ben was outside for less than an hour Thursday. He stayed within 100 feet of his habitat. News and analysis at townhall.com. The latest statistics show high inflation has not let up. Correspondent Shelley Adler has more.
Numbers from the Commerce Department showed consumer prices rising 0.6% from December to January. That's up sharply from a 0.2% increase the month before. The report also showed that consumer spending rose 1.8% last month from December after falling the previous month. All the data provides the latest sign that the economy...
Never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, the White House is becoming less and less white, and this is a fact we're supposed to celebrate. We'll discuss the left's obsession with diversity and how diversity is really a code for anti-white bigotry. Also, Ron DeSantis orders the execution of a twice-convicted murderer who stabbed a young woman to death. But according to the media, DeSantis is the real bad guy in the story. Plus, Liam Neeson has his own Me Too moment while appearing on The View. In our daily cancellation, a teacher tries to explain why parents shouldn't have any say over what their kids are taught. All that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. You may believe that the Biden administration has been nothing but a parade of incompetence and catastrophe. You may look around and see financial devastation, inflation, crumbling infrastructure, a non-existent border, rampant crime, an epidemic of drug overdoses, a failing education system, our unnecessary entanglements and conflicts overseas, which may lead to a global nuclear war potentially. And all of this while Chinese spy balloons float casually over our heads. And you may, after surveying this rather discouraging scene, come to the conclusion that the people leading our country have performed in a manner that may be described as less than adequate. You may think all of that, and you may even be right. In fact, you are right. But the White House is here to tell you that none of that matters, because what really matters is diversity. And when it comes to the diversity contest, they will take second place to no one. Indeed, White House Press Secretary Karen Jean-Pierre, herself a woman who checks multiple diversity boxes, took another opportunity to tout the administration's diversity record. And this was in response to a question from the ever-vigilant press, and the press that is always focused on what the American people care about, And it was a question about the appointment of the next Federal Reserve vice chairman or chairwoman or chairperson or chair them. The reporter wanted to know whether they would be looking for diverse applicants, because obviously it's very important that the Federal Reserve vice chairperson represents a marginalized group. This will be a source of inspiration for all the people in that group who had always dreamed since childhood of becoming the Federal Reserve vice chairperson. And if you're in such a group and had such a dream, as so many have, then this response from Karen Jean-Pierre should be very encouraging. Listen.
But I want to take the opportunity to lay out how diverse the president's cabinet has been, how diverse the president's administration has been. The cabinet is majority people of color for the first time in history. The cabinet is majority female for the first time in history. A majority of White House senior staff identify as female. 40% of White House senior staff identify as part of the racially diverse communities. And a record 7 assistants to the president are openly LGBTQ+. So, again, this is something that the president prides himself on. That he actually has taken action to show the diversity of this administration.
You know, just an impromptu question from the press that she happened to have a written speech ready for with, all the statistics and the exact number of racial minorities that are in the Biden administration. She just happened to have that on hand for this question from the press. And by the way, maybe she really did. You know, maybe she actually does have that information on hand. Maybe she just goes to every press conference and has all that information. We got 40%, gay people. We've got, because that, from the Biden administration's perspective, that could be an answer to any question at all. I mean, the question could be, what are we going to do about the price of eggs? Well, you know, here at the Biden administration, here's the number of polysexuals we have. They see that as somehow the solution to every problem. So in other words, all that is to say, the most incompetent administration in American history is also the most diverse. Make of that what you will. In fact, it's impossible to think of an example of an organization, institution, profession that has become more effective as it has become more diverse. There's lots of institutions we can think of that have become more quote unquote diverse, but how many of them have been improved by that in any measurable way whatsoever? We hear that diversity is our strength, but there isn't any evidence anywhere of diversity producing anything that would qualify as strength. In fact, what we see nearly across the board is institutional decline coinciding with the diversifying of those same institutions. Make of that what you will too. But here's what you should make of it. And it's this, that diversity as an end in itself will always produce decline as an end in itself. No institution, no community, no country will prosper by focusing on diversity for diversity's sake. Diversity, the sort that the Biden administration touts anyway, should be a byproduct, not an aim. In other words, if you recruit people because they're the most qualified, the most skilled, the most effective, which is the only reason you should be recruiting anyone for anything really, and as a byproduct of that approach, you end up with a more quote-unquote diverse organization, then fine. Though it would also be fine if the approach resulted in an organization that was predominantly white or predominantly male, as long as by the end of it, the organization is best able to accomplish whatever it's designed to accomplish. Because that's what matters. Okay? Because, and then if you have that, the demographic makeup, whatever that happens to be, is good because it was the result of a merit-based recruitment strategy. But the problem is that diversity is rarely a byproduct in our society. It is not organic. It's not something that just happens. It's always, almost always, engineered. And engineered diversity is never good. Engineered diversity is the work of bureaucrats who stand above, you know, the mass of common people and declare from on high that certain races have exceeded their allotted percentages. So other races must be shipped in and installed to fix the problem they have decided. Now, all of this is arbitrary, and it's completely dehumanizing. You know, you're taking away people's humanity, reducing them to statistics. A white person is not a white person, according to the White House. He's a faceless representative for his race, which is apparently running some sort of surplus. The supply exceeds the demand, as far as they're concerned, anyway. And so we've got to clear out the stock and then restock with more valuable demographics is essentially the approach. So this is essentially how our social engineers view the problem, which is only a problem in the first place because they've decided to call it a problem. And notice also that the allotted percentages are not based on representation in the population. See, the diversity proponents, they always say that institutions should reflect the communities they serve. We just heard that yesterday from CNN about the medical profession. They were saying we need more black doctors because there are a lot of black patients, and it has to reflect, we have to reflect the diversity of the population. Now, even that would be ridiculous and arbitrary. There's no reason why every institution should reflect the racial makeup of the larger community or nation. Again, it should reflect whatever is the result of merit-based recruitment. But this is especially the case when this demand for representation is only applied to industries and organizations that the elites in our culture consider admirable or desirable or useful. So, for example, only 10% of car mechanics are black, which is actually an underrepresentation in, compared to the overall population. But you rarely hear them raise that as a problem, because the people who raise these kinds of problems don't happen to respect car mechanics or consider it to be a desirable profession, in spite of the fact that car mechanics belong to one of the most important professions in existence right now, because without them, modern society ceases to function, basically. But when it comes to the desirable professions, the professions that the elites consider desirable anyway, percentage-based representation, as ridiculous as that would be on its own, is not actually what they're after, of course. They say they want these institutions to reflect the diversity of the American people, but if it did, that would mean that they would shoot for 13% black and 60% white. If the White House really reflected the American people, it would not be, as Jean Pair says, a majority people of color, because the population isn't. That's not representation. That is a considerable overrepresentation. Yet, of course, overrepresentation is the actual goal, because diversity is not the actual goal. Diversity is a smokescreen. I mean, there's a reason why these days leftists have taken to, I'm sure you've noticed, referring to diverse people, or rather a diverse person. So it's not just that the ethnic makeup of a group of people can be considered diverse. It's an individual human being can be diverse. You know, you could have a diverse person and then a non-diverse person. This makes no sense from a definitional perspective, because diversity means variety and difference. One individual cannot be a variety. Collections of people can have variety. Individuals in a vacuum cannot. So what does it mean to describe a person as diverse? Well, it means obviously that the person isn't white. That's all it means. And especially that the person isn't a white straight male. Diversity is code for non-white. And so anytime they talk about making something more diverse, what they're saying is they want fewer white people, fewer males, and fewer straight people. Now, I know we've grown accustomed to this kind of bigotry, but we shouldn't fail to appreciate how twisted and ultimately terrifying it is that the White House is openly boasting about discriminating against whites. This is racial bigotry brought to the highest levels and paraded around in the open. That's a very concerning development. That's why our reaction to this sort of thing should no longer be, as it has been for so long, to just scoff at it, you know, like it's a silly thing. The goal to make institutions, especially governmental institutions, more diverse is not merely a bunch of politically correct nonsense, though it is also that, but it is mainly, you know, actively racist. It is an actively racist campaign against whites and an actively sexist campaign against males. It is a direct effort to marginalize a group of people that the powers that be despise. That's how we should see it, because that's what it is, and we should react accordingly. Any effort to make any institution less white and less male is not only pointless and silly, but disgusting and morally repugnant. As would be entirely clear to everyone if an institution openly endeavored to make its members less black or less brown or less female. And this is not just about complaining about a double standard here. You know, I know we do plenty of that. I'm saying that we need to start calling things what they are, which means that we must say that our government is run not by champions of diversity, but by anti-white bigots. Plain and simple. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Did you know that gold was the best performing asset in 2022? Real estate, crypto, stocks, and bonds? Gold outperformed them all in 2022. Noble Gold Investments helped thousands of clients buy real physical gold last year. According to longtermtrends.net, gold outperformed the S&P 500, Dow, and Bitcoin. Had you invested in the S&P 500 a year ago, you'd be down more than 20%. If you invested in Bitcoin a year ago, you'd be down more than 65%. If you invested in the Dow a year ago, you'd be down almost 10%. Yes, gold has outperformed them all in 2022, and silver was not far behind. So what are you waiting for? Invest with Noble Gold Investments before the end of this month, and you'll bag a free 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagle coin with every qualified IRA of $50,000 or more. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments and their thousands of five-star reviews. Call Noble Gold Investments at 877-646-5347 to find out more. That's 877-646-5347.
Individual results may vary. Consult with your financial professional before making an investment decision.
Next up, the ladies on The View blame the East Palestine train derailment on Trump. Meanwhile, Liam Neeson gets Me Too'd by Joy Behar. If you don't want to miss this, we'll be right back.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D, murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck, Reed? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record-high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Walsh Show. The ladies of The View discuss the East Palestine situation. You know you're going to get some really intelligent commentary from these ladies. And let's watch.
Can we lay down regulations for a second? Because it seems to me that the Republicans are obsessed with this notion of the free market, and they don't like a lot of regulations.
Because it means profit. We need to deregulate to get profit.
But they, I know.
Part of deregulation,
for example, there were very few plane crashes. Thank God. And that's because the industry is highly regulated. We have to pay for regulations and safety standards. Otherwise, where are we? We're all going to go up in flames.
Norfolk Southern gives as much Democrats as Republicans. It's a very powerful lobby that is trying to block regulation. And this train, to Sarah's point, 2 miles long with two full-time employees and a trainee on it. This
and they didn't even
wipe out
to.
An entire...
Because the last administration rolled it down to only one worker. They happened to have two.
One thing I just want to say is I do think this was an unforced error by President Biden. It was 20 days before we had Secretary Buttigieg go down, 10 days before he put out a statement acknowledging it.
Yeah.
This is Trump country. He won by 40 points. He is a president for all Americans. I believe that, but he needs to show he is. It was time for him to be.
I don't know why they would ever vote for him.
Because
for somebody who, by the way, he placed someone with deep ties to the chemical industry in charge of the EPA's chemical safety office. That's who you voted for in that district. Donald Trump, who reduces all safety. He did.
Do they realize that those voters saw something on the ground that probably resonates in a way that they need to look past the photo ops,
these people, and say, who's doing the job here? Forget about the photo ops.
Showing up is a big thing. I think this is Donald Trump's fault.
Of course it's Donald Trump's fault. Everything that happens in the Biden administration is Donald Trump's fault. And, it's even just Donald Trump's fault that not only that this happened, but that the Biden administration didn't show any concern for it whatsoever until they were forced to. And even then, it was clear that it was only a symbolic concern. The fact that the transportation secretary didn't show up there until 3 weeks and then, walked around for a little bit looking like a dork in his construction outfit. Looked like a child dressing up as a construction worker. All that is Donald Trump's fault. So we know that. This is why I told you that they, and when I say they, I mean the media, the government, the elites, they don't care about this story because they don't care about these people. And it really is that simple. And they don't care about these people because they don't belong to an accepted preferred group because they're largely white working class people. And also because they tend to vote Republican. And you just heard it from Troy Behar. This is who you voted for. Referring to them as these people, this is who you voted for. You notice she would never, ever, ever say that about the crime-ridden hellscape inner cities all across country. Just plagued with crime and violence and drugs and people walking around looking like zombies, fentanyl zombies walking all around. What she's never going to say is, you know, these people in those cities, they voted for this. What you voted for. She will say that about white working class people in Ohio, though. They don't care about the people. The honest truth is that if everyone in that town died from chemical poisoning, the Joy Behars of the world, she wouldn't care. In fact, she'd probably be happy about it. Like she sees you as utter scum. And it's the same thing for the Biden administration. They don't care. Speaking of the view, it's a little bit of a less important topic, but I wanted to mention this because this was also making the rounds yesterday. Here's the article in the New York Post. It says, looks like Liam Neeson will not be returning as a guest on The View. The Irish actor, 70 years old, described his appearance on the ABC talk show last week as embarrassing, telling Rolling Stone the entire segment left him feeling uncomfortable. During his appearance on the show, co-host Joy Behar couldn't help but air out her longtime crush on the Taken actor. In fact, the segment included a montage of clips that showed Behar making bizarre on-air comments. Neeson said, I was in the dressing room, drinking a cup of tea, turned the TV up, and I thought, oh, this will be great. We're talking about gun violence in America. I agree that it's an American problem. I go on stage and join the ladies during the break, and I was congratulating them on this discussion. Then our segment starts, and it's just all this BS with Joy and Liam Neeson and having a crush. And he says, I'm uncomfortable in those situations. And he said it was embarrassing. So that's how he felt. He doesn't want to go back. He feels embarrassed by it. And here's the, we'll play a little bit of the clip of these women hitting on Liam Neeson.
Please welcome Liam Neeson.
Yes, we talk about you so much, I feel like you've been here.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. No, you talk about it. Right. Don't blow my cover.
So he wants to get taken by you.
I will find you and I will kill you. I love it. I got this Valentine from you today. Happy belated Valentine's Day, Liam X. And then I was like, oh. And then I find out you gave it to all of us.
Well, she will believe anything that you say because it's no secret that Joy thinks you're the hottest and the greatest ever. And in case was any doubt.
Yes.
We have a few times she's brought you up over the years. I think we have some video.
Have you seen this?
I would just like to have my ashes sprinkled over Liam Neeson. There's room in my heart for Steve and for Liam Neeson, let's say. Liam Neeson right now, are those kidnapping movies that he does get me so aroused? I can't
I can't even sit through this. This is like a human rights violation. This is, I mean, you couldn't even do this to someone at Guantanamo Bay. This is like, and Liam Neeson, yeah, he's a leftist, all that, he was complaining about because he wanted to go talk about gun violence. Gun violence is only an American problem, doesn't it? Right? Gun violence doesn't exist. Did you know that? Did you know that there's no gun violence anywhere else in the world? We're the only country where people get shot. It only happens here. So he's all that, but even so, you got to feel some sympathy for the guy. I mean, this is like, can you imagine a worse nightmare? I mean, this is a worse punishment. This is worse than what happened to Donald Dilbeck last night. Having to sit with the ladies of the View, being sexually harassed, sitting next to Joy Behar, being not only sexually harassed by her in person, but then you have to sit there and they put the reaction. So they've got the clips of her making all these creepy sexual comments about Liam Neeson. And then the reaction of him live having to watch this while sitting next to her. It's just, that's not right to do that to someone. And this is sexual harassment, right? Now, I know we said in the opening, the whole, imaginative situations were reversed thing. It gets lame after a while because there are so many double standards and we spend all day on the right pointing out double standards. Even so, this is, we should still note, obviously a double standard. Like, you know, If we were to imagine a scenario where it was a bunch of men on some kind of talk show and a woman comes on and it's the same sort of thing, talking about he wants to be taken by you and then I'd be playing a montage of sexual comments made. It would be, everybody involved would be fired. It would be Me Too, everyone's fired, and yet one of the most grotesque women in the country gets away with it. So. My sympathy does go to Liam Neeson. Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hop takes over your commercial, I'll hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the smoothest with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kicks with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only dish premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
The groundhog saw his shadow, which means more winter weather woes for your vehicle. The good news is Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive can repair those minor scratches and scrapes, and their experienced technicians can also perform major auto body repairs. Plus, Crossroads Auto Body Repair offers full body paint jobs. Crossroads Auto Body Repair. New name, same great service and location. 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in Jefferson.
What's being hidden from us about the COVID-19 scenario, about covert climate engineering operations that are wreaking havoc with weather all over the world, about the totality of unfolding and accelerating global environmental collapse. If you're willing to face and investigate shocking, verifiable realities that mainstream media sources and their distract and divide talking heads will never tell you, tune into the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour, Saturday at 11 a.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
88909. We're back with the Matt Walsh Show. The media found a new line of attack against DeSantis last night. The line of attack is that DeSantis had a man killed, if you can believe, a poor innocent man was killed by Ron DeSantis. And that man's name is Donald Dilbeck. Of course, it turns out this poor innocent man was not either of those things. Well, he might be poor, but he's not innocent. He's a murderer on death row. But here's how the Huffington Post reported on this story. Okay. This is their headline. Florida executes man used as political pawn by Ron DeSantis. Subheading, I know I hurt a lot of people when I was young. I really messed up, said Donald Dilbeck, who was sentenced to death by a non-unanimous jury. But I know Ron DeSantis has done a lot worse. No, he hasn't done worse than you as a convicted murderer on death row. Although there's no point of addressing Donald Dilbeck now because he's, you know, dead, as well he should be. Reading now from the article, it says, Florida on Thursday executed 59-year-old Donald Dilbeck, who was sentenced to death 32 years ago by a non-unanimous jury under a death penalty statute that has since been found unconstitutional. Dilbeck was found as was killed as punishment for fatally stabbing a woman named Faye Van, and was the first person executed in Florida since 2019. The timing of his execution appears to be part of a push by Governor Ron DeSantis to bring back death sentences by non-unanimous juries. DeSantis, who was expected to run for president, signed Dilbeck's death warrant last month on the same day that he floated changing state law to allow non-unanimous juries to impose death sentences. Maybe 8 out of 12 have to agree or something, DeSantis suggested at a Florida Sheriff's Association conference just before ordering the execution of a man with that exact jury split. I know I hurt people when I was young. I really messed up, Dilbeck said. We already heard that, but I know Ron DeSantis has done a lot worse. He's taken a lot from a lot of people. I speak for all men, women, and children. He's put his foot on our necks. Ron DeSantis and other people like him can sexual expletive. No, you don't speak for Donald. You don't speak for all men. You don't speak for me at all. You're a convicted murderer who's now dead. and decomposing in an unmarked grave, as you well deserve. And so you don't speak. You don't really speak for any normal, decent person. In a written statement, Van's children, Tony and Laura Van, thanked DeSantis for carrying out the execution. Quote, "We were robbed of years of memories with her, and it has been very painful ever since. However, the execution has given us some closure." Shortly after DeSantis' jury suggestion, Republican lawmakers filed a set of bills that would replace the unanimous jury requirement with an 8-4 threshold and allow a judge to overrule a jury to impose a death sentence. "I'm not minimizing what Dilbeck did to people," Florida Capitol defender Allison Miller told Tallahassee Democrat, "but he is most definitely a political pawn." DeSantis has cited the outcome of the trial for Nicholas Cruz, who killed 17 people in a 2018 school shooting in Parkland, Florida, as a reason to bring back non-unanimous jury verdicts. Cruz was sentenced to life in prison without parole after jurors split 9-3 over the death penalty. And that's an important detail that I think maybe some people get confused about with this. They're not talking about, you know, the conviction is non-unanimous. What they're saying is that the decision you could be executed even if the entire jury doesn't agree that although you're guilty, you should be executed for the crime. And of course, Ron DeSantis is entirely right about that. Like, why do you need the entire jury to agree on that? And then we're told more. Now, there's something missing from, as we read through this entire report, and this is Huffington Post, but the rest of the corporate media, it's been the same kind of thing as they're telling us a story about Donald Dilbeck. Then they get to a little bit of Dilbeck's background. Like most people sentenced to death, Dilbeck endured extreme abuse as a child. His birth mother drank 18 to 24 beers per day throughout her pregnancy, resulting in a catastrophic effect on Mr. Dilbeck's intellectual and adaptive functioning. His lawyers wrote in a petition requesting the Supreme Court review the case. Now, Mr. Dilbeck suffers from neurobehavioral disorder associated with prenatal alcohol exposure. It's thoroughly medically documented, unrebutted, and factually beyond dispute. The lawyers continue. And then they go on. They go on for another several paragraphs telling us the poor story of this poor man. Poor guy. But do you notice something something that's missing? We've got several paragraphs into this. And what's missing is they still haven't given us the precise details of what Dilbeck did to earn his lethal injection. They briefly mention it in one sentence, but they don't really give us the full story. And this is always the case with these kinds of articles about criminals executed by the state. They always bury the reason, the full reason, at the bottom, when that should be, like, the very first thing you tell us. I'll have more to say on this in just a minute after a word from our sponsor.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month. And that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
Okay, before you tell us about fetal alcohol syndrome and he had a bad upbringing and his parents were abusive, we don't need that. I want to know what he did. I want the full story of what he did. Well, the full story is that Dilbeck shot and killed a sheriff's deputy, went to prison for it, escaped, and then found a woman in the parking lot, Faye Van, in a parking lot of a store, and stabbed her to death, really for no reason, not that there could be a good reason, stabbed her to death, and left her two children without a mother. And that's how he got the death penalty. So, killing the first person, not enough. Second person, now you're getting the death penalty. And that's why, like, I can have all the sympathy in the world for people who experience trauma in their lives, who are abused as children, like, who's not sympathetic to that. But once you victimize someone else, then the sympathy goes away. Because, you know, part of it is that the buck has to stop somewhere. And, okay, Donald Dilbeck was abused as a child. Terrible thing. But what about the parents who abused him? I bet you we could trace back and see that, well, they were abused too. Right? I'm sure horrible things happened to them when they were horrible things happen that would lead a mother to drink 18 beers a day when she's pregnant. Like, we can guarantee that she had not a great life. I think we can, without even knowing anything else about her, we were pretty sure that's the case. And then what about the people that did that to her, and then her, and then her? So you just keep passing the buck down generations and generations and generations. Turns out no one is responsible for anything. It's got to stop somewhere, and it stops with each individual. It stops with each individual. Each individual is responsible for their own actions. And if you are horribly victimized as a child or any other time, again, sympathy. But when you decide, when you make the decision to pass that victimization on to someone else, right, to try to, in whatever weird, twisted way, alleviate your own suffering or reclaim some, you know, semblance of power and control in your own sick mind, by passing that suffering and that victimization on to someone else, now there's no more sympathy for you. Because now you're as bad, in fact, probably worse now than the person who victimized you. You are also a monster. So all that goes out the window. And this is just justice. Right? We could talk about, as we've talked about with the death penalty, you know, things like deterrence, that is a factor. Okay, they'll tell you the studies show it's not a deterrent. First of all, it's actually impossible to, common sense tells us that obviously the death penalty has a deterrent factor. Because most people don't want to be executed. So obviously it does. It's hard to go beyond common sense, because it's actually impossible to measure. So when they tell you that there are studies that prove that there's no deterrence, well, that would require you to know all of the people who would have done something bad, but then didn't. So you would have to, that's the only way to measure deterrence. You're measuring all of the people who didn't do something. How could you possibly know that? It's impossible to know. And then also the way that we carry out the death penalty. I mean, this guy was on death row for decades. And so there's still a deterrence factor, but that deterrence is obviously going to be incredibly mitigated, because we don't execute very many people at all. It's very rare. And when we do, it's decades in the future. They get all kinds of appeals and everything. And so that's going to mitigate the deterrence factor. There is still going to be the deterrence factor. It's going to mitigate it, though. And yeah, so the deterrence thing, you can talk about that. You can talk about the kind of societal self-defense argument that there are people who are just so dangerous that we have no choice but to segregate them permanently from all of society in the most ultimate sort of form of segregation, which is to execute them. So that argument's fine, but really it comes down to justice. And there are things in life that you can do that simply call out, they cry out for the harshest response and punishment. And this is one of those things. And it, that doesn't change your experiences growing up, what you suffered through, that doesn't change the nature of the act that you committed. Ultimately, though, this just makes me like DeSantis more. A convicted killer used his last moment on Earth to curse the name of Ron DeSantis. That's supposed to make us like him less? Not for me. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Subscription required.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 90% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to forhims.com/joy. At Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the biggest brands at 90% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but 90% cheaper. It's the same medication you get from your doctor, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Next up in our daily cancellation, an Arizona teacher flaunts her master's degree to try to convince lawmakers that she knows better for kids than teachers do. I think you already guessed why she's canceled. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community.
I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including 2 crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's
365-3793. Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. We begin the daily cancellation with Senate Bill 1700, which is currently making its way through the Arizona legislature. This bill is definitely not what we're canceling today, as it is a good and necessary piece of legislation. The Arizona State Senate provides this fact sheet about the proposed law. Reading now says, the bill requires the Arizona Department of Education to maintain a list of books that public educational institutions may not use or make available to students, including books that are lewd or sexual, promote gender fluidity or gender pronouns, or groom children into normalizing pedophilia, grants parents the right to request removal of school district or charter school library or classroom materials, extends public review periods for library materials and district textbooks, and removes exceptions from district curriculum approval and school library access requirements. So in summary, it takes overtly sexual books out of the schools, pornographic books out of the schools, and gives parents a say in the material that their own children are exposed to. This is, of course, basic common sense, and the only problem with the law is that it's not a law already. That's the only issue. Like, this should already be the law. But as we've seen, there's nothing more likely to stir up controversy and outrage than basic common sense, which is why this bill in Arizona, just like similar bills in Florida and other places, have been met with furious protests from the left. At a hearing this week, a teacher named Alicia Messing stood up and made her own case against the bill. She apparently believes that it is crucially important for elementary school students to read books about, you know, masturbation and gender fluidity. And although she can't explain why it's so important, she can explain why we should all listen to her opinion, whether her opinion makes sense or not. And the reason is that she has a master's degree. Listen.
I have a master's degree because when I got certified, I was told I had to have a master's degree to be an Arizona certified teacher. We all have advanced degrees. What do the parents have? Are we vetting the backgrounds of our parents? Are we allowing the parents to choose the curriculum and the books that our children are going to read? I think that it's a mistake. I'm just speaking from the heart. The one line that I love is, we must remember that the purpose of public education is not to teach only what parents want their children to be taught. It is to teach them what society needs them to be taught.
You know, this meme is overused and cliched at this point, obviously, but listening to that, it's the one time when I'm tempted to respond, ma'am, this is a Wendy's, mainly because I'm sure this woman even presents her academic credentials when in line at the drive-thru. You know, like, yeah, hi, I have a master's degree. Also, I'd like a number three meal and a chocolate Frosty. Sorry, ma'am, we're out of Frosties. What? Did you hear me? I have a master's degree. I have a master's degree. You would dare to withhold a Frosty from a woman with an advanced degree? You scoundrel. But you can't blame Alicia, I suppose. Her master's degree is utterly useless. It's not good for anything. So she'll try to use it as a trump card in arguments because she has to get something out of this piece of paper that she bankrupted herself to purchase. Now, I say that the master's degree is useless because it is. In the vast majority of cases, master's degrees are nothing but money-making scams for the university system. And this has become so clear that even left-leaning sites like Slate, for example, are publishing articles declaring, as they did last year, that master's degrees are one of the biggest scams in higher education. CBS News finally clued into this issue in May of this past year, publishing a report with this headline, quote, many graduate programs are scams, according to higher education policy analysts. The report begins, some 3 million Americans will enroll in graduate programs this year, only to work towards degrees that often aren't worth the time or money, according to an education policy analyst. Many undergraduates earn their bachelor's degree and go straight to graduate school in hopes of gaining a new degree or skills that will make them more attractive to prospective employers. Well, they're already off on the wrong foot if they're trying to find skills. You know, gaining skills is the one thing that you don't do in quote unquote higher education. It's one of the big problems with it is that you're spending a lot of time in early adulthood not learning skills. Quote, the reason people go makes sense. They go to get a job and make more money, said James Murphy, senior policy analyst at advocacy group Education Reform Now. The recent research shows that 40% of master's programs in the U.S. have no positive return. If you take in the cost of attending and the time spent not working, what you get out of the master's degree doesn't even pay for itself, Murphy told CBS News. Of course, you should note, higher education itself is usually also a scam. Master's degrees aren't even close to worth the investment in a large number of cases, but that is increasingly becoming true of all college degrees, including undergraduate degrees. The scam simply becomes more obvious and more financially costly as you move up the educational ladder. That's why half of all student debt is now held by people with graduate degrees. And these are mostly people who, you know, they want to stay in college. They want to stay in the college system because they don't know what else to do. And they're afraid to actually start living their adult lives and you know, getting to the point where they actually have to learn skills. They don't want to do that, so they just stay in the system. Or they do it because they've been convinced that it's a smart strategy to spend the first decade of adulthood stacking degrees, even if you don't know what you're going to do with them. Or because, as was the case with Alicia, she says, the teacher in the clip, they have to get a master's degree in order to get into their chosen line of work. Now, this third case, where they get it because they have to, that doesn't make it less of a scam, but in fact more of a scam. Like so many other professions, hers comes with an entirely arbitrary barrier to entry. It requires her to sink herself even further into debt to obtain what amounts to nothing more than extremely expensive calling card, you know, signaling that she's a member of the club. That's why I wouldn't make fun of her for getting the degree if it's what she needed to do in order to get the job she wanted. But the problem is that she's now pretending that this symbolically significant token has actual significance. She says that parents aren't qualified to determine which books are appropriate for their own children because the parents don't have the magical piece of paper that she has. But that's not how it works, Alicia. If the parents don't have a master's degree, it only means that they weren't suckered or coerced the way that you were. That doesn't make them less qualified. If anything, it makes them more qualified. After all, you don't need a degree to determine what is appropriate for children. All you need is common sense and powers of discernment. And we must immediately suspect that people who blew their money on a useless advanced degree are probably lacking in both of those things. But again, this is not really a question of qualification. It is a question of the proper ordering of things. It's a question of who's the primary earthly authority over a child, the parent or the government? Who's the primary caregiver? Who has the parental rights? Does my child belong to me or the state? Is my child my child, or is he the state's child, the state's property, and I'm just there as backup? These are the fundamental questions at play here, and these questions have nothing to do with academic credentials. And the answer right down the line is the parent. The reason that we give primary authority to the parent is not just because it's the parent's right, though it is, but also because that's what's best for the child. And you notice how she says at the end that that we shouldn't consider what the parent wants the child to be taught, but rather what society needs the child to be taught. But when she says society, she means, of course, the institutions that run society. And those institutions will decide what they need the child to be taught based on what sort of person they need the child to become. In the case of the institutions in charge of our society today, they quote-unquote need our children to be morally and intellectually vacuous vassals of the state, with no firm sense of self, no understanding of their own identity, who could be easily placated and manipulated. Those are the sorts of people they need, and so they want them to be educated in a way that will produce those results. But here's an alternative idea. What should we teach the child? Well, maybe we should teach the child what the child needs to know. Okay? It's not what society needs the child to know. It's what the child needs to know. Maybe you should take the child's needs into account first and foremost. Rather than teaching based on the needs of society, i.e. the institutions, perhaps we should be teaching based on the needs of the actual child, the student. And the fact that this option wasn't even mentioned by the teacher, that she hadn't so much as considered this, tells you all you need to know. And as far as what kids need to know, well, we certainly know that they don't need to know about gender ideology and gender fluidity and whatever else this teacher wants to shove into their minds. They don't need to be exposed to that. In fact, they need to not be exposed to it. And that is ultimately why this teacher and her master's degree are today canceled. And that's all we have for this week. Thanks for listening. Talk to you on Monday. Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Hour from townhall.com. I'm Tasha Stevens. Ukraine's president's pledging to push for victory as he marked the first anniversary of the Russian invasion. Correspondent Karen Shamas reports.
In Kiev, a Ukrainian military orchestra trumpeted defiantly in a ceremony to mark a year since the start of the war. As morning broke on a day of commemorations and reflection, President Volodymyr Zelensky struck a tone of grim determination, tweeting, "We know that 2023 will be the year of our victory." At the ceremony itself, he thanked all Ukrainians who took part in the fight to preserve the nation, calling them a bright memory to all those whose lives were taken by this war. I'm Karen Chamas.
More lawsuits are filed against Norfolk Southern following that toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. The Ohio-based firm Johnson & Johnson recently announced it filed a class action against the railroad on behalf of all the residents within 30 miles of the derailment site. In addition to punitive damages, the suit's pushing for the creation of a fund for medical monitoring, new testing, and cleaning procedures. The train that derailed earlier this month exposed the community to highly toxic chemicals. Governor Kay Ivey says Alabama is ready to resume executions. Ed Donahue reports.
The state was forced to cancel three lethal injections because of problems with intravenous lines. In November, Ivey ordered a top-to-bottom review of death penalty procedures. 3 months later, Ivey says it's time to obtain justice for victims' families in Alabama. Changes have been made in staffing and equipment. Critics say the review should have been done by an outside group. A motion has been filed with Alabama's Supreme Court for an execution date for James Barber, who was sentenced to death for the 2001 beating death of an elderly woman. I'm Ed Donahue.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Fleet Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-626-5252. That's 800-626-5252. 800-626-5252.
There's been an arrest of a suspected Hezbollah terrorist.
A Lebanese and Belgian citizen labeled a global terrorist by the United States in 2018 when $10 million was offered for information about his whereabouts has been captured in Bucharest, Romania. Friday's arrest of Mohamed Ibrahim Batsi on charges describing him as a key Hezbollah financier was announced by federal authorities. U.S. Attorney Breon Peace in Brooklyn said the extradition of Batsi and Talal Shaheen, a Lebanese citizen, was sought on charges in an indictment returned last month in Brooklyn federal court. Peace said Batsi wrongly thought he could illegally move hundreds of thousands of dollars from the United States to Lebanon without being noticed. Keith Peters reporting.
A special meeting in the West Virginia capital of Charleston is held on a bill that would codify the rights of residents to challenge government regulations that interfere with their religious beliefs. News and analysis at townhall.com. The pending release of his new book is fueling speculation that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will soon announce his expected bid for the Republican presidential nomination.
The book, The Courage to be Free, Florida's Blueprint for America's Revival, is due out at month's end. An invitation to the book release reads, "No leader has accomplished more for his state than Governor DeSantis, and he is now sharing this winning blueprint with the country." DeSantis would hardly...
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
As a press release masquerading as a newspaper suing. And then a judge, I was reading the story with great interest, and that communists kill everybody. But in New Orleans, to the crowd on floats going by, $50 off when you shop their semi-annual sale today.
Well, 855-51-BIBLE.
It's marching on, doesn't it? And that's
financing the easy way. Text APPLY.
Appliances, HVAC, and outdoor power equipment.
Your back taxes.
Talking about how nice the weather was. It was terrible. Let's go to the phones. 8886 Bill saying that illegal aliens, just illegal friends in Washington, D.C. that have children, a giant building along Rock Creek. They just spent five ahead, but I think it was 160 something children. They're criminal children who go around carjacking. A small number voted with the Republicans because they agreed.
True that people are way more satisfied.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.